truth is out. Meanwhile, life for the attacker and absolute shame for the local police force down in Southampton.
Police release body-worn footage of the moment they arrest teenager Henry Novak as he bleeds out after being stabbed with a Sikh sword. I'm LBC's Benji Hire on what the Prime Minister calls an awful, shocking case.
Disgraced former SNP boss Peter Murrell will be in court and it will be on our watch. How abusive passengers could be blacklisted from all airlines under a new proposal and... Yes, mind the gap. That famous London Underground announcement as a tube strike brings chaos to much of the network. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, police have released body cam footage of the moment officers handcuffed a student who'd been stabbed in Southampton. Henry Novak was killed by Vikram Digwa last December, who lied to police, telling them that he'd been the victim of a racial attack. Sir Keir Starmer has backed a decision by the police watchdog to investigate how the Hampshire force responded. Its temporary Deputy Chief Constable Robert France has issued this apology.
I'm sorry that he was handcuffed and arrested in the moments before he lost consciousness. It's quite clear that officers didn't understand what had happened immediately. There had been a delay from those who chose eventually to call them. There were lies from Henry's killer in that 999 phone call, further lies from his killer as officers arrived on scene. And despite Henry telling officers he'd been stabbed, it took them some minutes to realise what had really happened.
23-year-old Vikram Digwa was jailed for murder yesterday and will serve a minimum of 21 years in prison. You can read more on this story on the LBC app. At least 10 people have been killed after Russia carried out a large-scale drone and missile attack across Ukraine overnight. Fighting has also continued in southern Lebanon, despite Donald Trump announcing last night that Israel and Hezbollah had agreed to halt attacks. Sir Keir Starmer is to meet with his cabinet later this morning after yesterday's release of files relating to the Lord Mandelson saga. 1,500 pages of documents relating to the Peer's appointment as US ambassador were published. The tranche revealed splits and tensions within Labour, including unflattering views of the government. LBC's deputy political editor, Aggie Shombray, has been looking at the papers.
Pat McFadden as well, of course, Department for Work and Pensions Secretary, now is scathing. He says to Morgan McSweeney, the former chief of staff, on meeting with Labour MPs, "Every meeting I have is who can we tax in order to pay benefits to others? They're asking the wrong questions." And a spokesperson for Pat McFadden says Pat has publicly said many times that the question we should ask is not what are you entitled to, but how can we change your life?
London's mayor is expected to use a speech later to add pressure to calls for a total ban on social media for under-16s. Sir Sadiq Khan has previously said that the impact of such a measure should be monitored, but is now firmly in favour. A government consultation on the issue is due to report back in the summer. And Transport for London says it's bitterly disappointed that the RMT union has decided to go ahead with two more tube strikes. The first is already underway and continues until midnight. The second is on Thursday. 5 hours of talks yesterday ended without an agreement on proposed changes to driver shift patterns. TfL insists they're voluntary, but the RMT says management has failed to provide assurances needed. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,338. It closed down 70 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Pam, what on earth has happened to your eye?
I don't know. I looked online, but then...
Well, for what it's worth, to me it looks like what my gran said her old neighbour Queenie had. Her eyes went every colour of the rainbow. Had to bathe them in warm carrot juice every day for a year. You could give that a try.
It's best to get a gammy eye checked by an expert. That's why Specsavers can help treat eye problems in every store. Should have gone to...
Unwanted advice.
Savers. Conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. morning, 4 minutes after seven, Tuesday, June the 2nd. The truth, as if we didn't know it already, is out. The Labour Party only care about who they can tax to, quote, pay the benefits of others. And by the way, that's not me. That's the senior cabinet minister who went on to be the Work and Pension Secretary, Pat McFadden, complaining to Peter Mandelson. Yes, the 1,500 pages of the Mandelson files have been released. A lot of redactions, though, and we'll give you the latest on that. Also, how the police dragged our son across the gravel, handcuffed him and left him to die, then treated his Sikh murder with decency. The extraordinary well-composed words of their father, grieving, of course, his son, outside a court where his killer got life, and we'll give you full details on that. I'm afraid it's a case that disgraces that local police force. To Scotland, former Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon speaking with the BBC on Sunday about a necklace bought by Peter Murrough worth £425. Her estranged husband will appear in court again, actually on our watch.
Peter said to me, I've got a surprise for you. I saw you admiring this pendant and gave me it. Sorry. I loved that necklace.
Grounded. The idea that abusive passengers could be blacklisted from all airlines, not just the one they disrupt, all airlines. Addressed by Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary, speaking with Sky News last year.
We all in this industry need to do more to make sure that people who are boarding aircraft are sober, preferably not on drugs as well, but are certainly sober.
Could it be the comeback queen at Queen's? Serena Williams confirms her comeback. We'll give you more details about that. And if we're talking sports...
You got to hold and give, but do it at the right time. You can't be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. They'll always hit you and hurt you. Defend and attack. There's only one way to beat them, and that's around the back. So catch me if you can, because I'm the England man.
That is Smithy, James Corden, Gavin, Matthew Horn, Mick, Larry Lamb, Pam, Alison Steadman singing World in Motion. John Barnes will join us in the studio later in the show because, oh joy, he's re-released it.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Whichever headline you turn to, even the Daily Mirror, which is very much a Labour-supporting newspaper, it is very grim for the government today, as 1,500 pages of files and documents relating to Peter Mandelson's time as Britain's ambassador to the US. Among the messages to Labour colleagues in which Mandelson was withering about the Prime Minister, claiming Morgan McSweeney, who recall his then Chief of Staff, believed he was stuck in a cycle of advance, stroke buckle, stroke advance, stroke buckle. Also Pat McFadden, who went on to become the Work and Pensions Minister, saying that all they seemed to worry about was how to raise taxes to pay benefits to others. How would you defend that? Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones, releasing the Mandelson files, speaking in the House of Commons yesterday.
The documents we are publishing today are one of the largest government publications ever laid before this House. This disclosure process has been wide-ranging, costing the Cabinet Office alone over £1 million. The House should note that some messages may not have been backed up where devices may have been changed, or disappearing messages were turned on for reasonable and permitted reasons, including before the dismissal of Peter Mandelson or the passing of the humble address.
The humble address, of course, forced the release of these files and that £1 million that they've spent. In the Commons yesterday, senior Conservative MP, Shadow Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, Alex Burghardt, responded.
Although we have a huge number of documents, it is clear that very many are missing. Some have been withheld, some have been lost, and it's clear that some have probably been destroyed. Because of the approach the government is taking, however, it is impossible for honourable members to know which documents fall into which category.
In the studio with me, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark. Natasha, what did we learn from yesterday? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, beleaguered and bereft, that's how Peter Mandelson is describing the Number 10 operation under Sir Keir Starmer. More than 1,000 pages of documents released yesterday. It's a real window into the heart of government, and they show us, I think, three things. First, Mandelson, a key operator as US diplomat, US ambassador, not just a mere diplomat, heavily involved in advice-shaping policy, in touch with colleagues around the world, repeatedly drawn on for advice. One phone call with Pat McFadden lasted 49 minutes. They regularly spoke on the phone. And Nick, I was particularly struck by the revelation, and it's on the front pages of the Guardian newspaper this morning. Mandelson appeared to visit our nuclear submarine sites at Barrow-in-Furness, despite, as we know now, not having the highest levels of security clearance amid a public row over his vetting. He was receiving these highly sensitive security briefings before he completed that developed vetting work. Of course, this entire release surrounds that security story. Secondly, of course, it reveals internally there is as much criticism of Sir Keir Starmer and his government as there is externally. Pages and pages of that. As you say, the Tories have leapt on this message sent from Pat McFadden, which says in every meeting with Labour MPs, they're asking what more can be taxed to pay for benefits. MPs I've spoken to, Nick, describing that as the modern day equivalent of the there is no money left note by Liam Byrne. I think this will run on and on. You've got Madelson, McFadden and Wes Streeting all attacking government policy. They say the government has no vision. The welfare rebellion was a mess. Keir is not leading from the front. Keir Starmer doesn't know what he wants. And third, Nick, I think just it shows a pretty dysfunctional insight into our government. Many MPs questioning whether it works at all. We saw the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Morgan McSweeney, trying to rip up and redo Number 10 because he had, quotes, no faith in Keir's ability to change it. And we must, Nick, as well mention the incredible story of how many hours were taken up in trying to get Donald Trump a replica red box with gold letters on it saying President of the United States as a gift ahead of the state visit. And also note how Number 10 only learned of tariffs coming into effect on British steel the day before they came in. Now, in terms of a smoking gun, I don't think there is anything I've seen that proves anything more damning about the Prime Minister or any ongoing links with Jeffrey Epstein and Lord Mandelson. But it does show, Nick, I think, a very unhappy ship at the heart of this Labour government that's been there since day one. I think it may always be there at the heart of this government. And one thing's for sure, it's going to make ministers a lot less loose-lipped with their WhatsApps from now on.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting. Let's bring the conversation to Sir John Whittingdale, who served as Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, is a Conservative MP and sits on the Foreign Affairs Select Committee and has led the way, really, in scrutiny over the appointment of Peter Mandelson as US Ambassador. Sir John joins me now. Sir John, this is great excitement to journalists, to my political editor, to politicians. Why does it matter to Mrs. Jones in Clapham? What does it say about the state of the country of my listeners and your voters? Morning, Sir John.
Well, obviously, the appointment of Peter Mandelson as ambassador was a terrible misjudgment by the Prime Minister, and therefore it reflects extremely badly on him. It also raises very serious questions about potentially the damage which that appointment caused. We know that Peter Mandelson received a recommendation that he should not have security clearance because of his links with China, with Russia, and yet the appointment went ahead. And we still don't know exactly what happened during the period when he was ambassador and whether or not Britain's security was compromised.
You've watched some come and you've watched some go. Where does this leave Sir Keir, Sir John?
Well, I mean, the extraordinary thing about the period we're now in is that Sir Keir Starmer appears to be a dead man walking. Almost nobody in Parliament thinks he's going to be there, and they're all now jostling to see whether or not they might get a position under a new Andy Burnham premiership. We have this period of a few weeks where Sir Keir Starmer remains in office, but as famously once said, in office but not in power. And well, I think that the revelations contained in the Mandelson releases about the dysfunction, the lack of any strategy, the lack of any direction in Number 10, I mean, that simply confirms what a lot of us have thought for a very long time.
How concerned are you, the point raised by your senior colleague Alex Burkhardt in the House yesterday, about the amount we haven't seen, the amount that has been redacted, or to quote the Daily Mail, the amount that's been sprayed in Tippex, Sir John?
Well, I mean, I had difficulty carrying the volumes that were released yesterday. I mean, there are over 1,000, I think about 1,300 pages. And yet the vast majority tell you absolutely nothing. There would be pages which would say, email to so-and-so from Peter Mandelson. There'd then be a huge amount of white space. And at the bottom it said, yours ever, Peter. And it actually told us absolutely nothing. There were some nuggets in there, and they're the ones we've been talking about. But in terms of the amount of trees that were massacred in order to produce this release, we're told a cost of over £1 million. Actually, in terms of Mandelson, we learnt very little more. I mean, there were some interesting revelations about what they really think within government. But about the big questions about why Mandelson was appointed, and the question I raised in Parliament was that we know that the Number 10 official sent a note to the Prime Minister saying, what do you want to do? These are the issues. Do you want to go ahead and appoint him? And yet we've not seen any reply. There is no evidence of the Prime Minister actually saying yes or no or having a meeting, and that document must exist. I think there are still questions that need to be answered.
Finally, for my listeners, I'm about to ask them, this surely has to be definitive proof of something that I think you were onto, Sir John, that Kemi Badenoch was certainly onto, that this effectively is a party for the benefit culture, for welfare culture, because when you have Pat McFadden saying, every meeting I have is who can we tax to pay benefits to the others, that's the reality of this Labour administration, isn't it?
It is. And part of the challenge they have is that the vast majority of Labour MPs come from the left. They believe in public spending. They believe in high taxation. And that is what they are pressing for. And therefore, you know, Pat McFadden has simply revealed what we all knew to be the case.
Always enjoy speaking to you. Thanks for your time this morning, John. Sir John Whittingdale served as Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sports, so is a Conservative MP, and is on the Foreign Affairs Select Committee and has led some pretty tough grilling over the appointment of Peter Mandelson. We'll take your views on that. Now, the genie's out of the bottle, the final figure's fallen, however you want to put it. The Labour Party is simply the welfare party. Even they just sit around in meetings to discuss how they can tax you, if you're fortunate enough to be in work, and me, and currently I am in work, unless I've not received the note, how they can tax us more. Also coming up after the news, a father describes how police dragged our son across the gravel, handcuffed him and left him to die, then treated his Sikh murderer with decency. Here's audio of the officers actually doing those very actions.
What's happened to you, all right? You've been stabbed. You've been stabbed? Whereabouts? I don't think you have, mate.
Brilliant policing. Brilliant. I didn't know that they were trained paramedics as well. 7:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police have released body cam footage at the moment officers handcuffed a student who'd been stabbed in Southampton. Russia's carried out a large-scale attack on Ukraine overnight with drones and missiles striking several cities across the country. And the former SNP chief executive Peter Murrell is due in court again later after admitting embezzling £400,000 from the party. LBC weather. Sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas. A high of 21 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The 24-hour strike on the Underground has started. The Circle and Waterloo and City lines are suspended. The Piccadilly, Central, Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are all part suspended. All the other lines are running, but with severe delays. On the trains, Thames Link and Great Northern services are disrupted between King's Cross and Hitchin because of the overhead wire problems. And also on Thames Link, services are delayed between Three Bridges and Horsham. On the roads, the M4 is closed westbound at Junction 3 at the A312. There are severe delays. There are lengthy delays on the M25 anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel, and that's because a lorry's broken down, and it's still very busy anti-clockwise at Junction 27 at the M11 after an accident.
This is LBC.
With problem earwax, things don't feel quite right. The NHS recommends using olive oil to help relieve build-up, so Otex offers medical-grade olive oil in both drops and spray. But if you need to act faster, there's Otex Express. However you choose to treat it, choose the earwax treatment brand most recommended by pharmacists. And be clear to hear with Otex. Based on a survey of 200 pharmacies. For verification, visit otexear.com.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip. For fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network as awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
In a world full of noise and uncertainty, IG is the investment platform that backs you. Forget the dubious tips from that guy down the pub. Get real-time insights, analysis and tools. No more fat cat brokers clawing your gains. Pay zero commission on your investments. Switch to a platform trusted by British investors for over 50 years. IG. Trade. Invest. Progress. Your capital's at risk. Other fees may apply.
Notice the change in your hearing? Well, get a hearing check from Specsavers. Oh, not sure where to start? Well, we're very flexible. Book one online, on the phone, on your lunch break, on Saturdays, on the same day if you're lucky. Oh, you only miss the odd word. But what if the odd words you're missing are nice ones like love you, or important ones like duck? Oh, Too expensive, is it? All right, we like you. We'll do it for nothing. For free hearing checks, should have gone to Specsavers.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after 7, Elizabeth, you'll be the first caller. Where do you start with these £1,500, £1 million worth of files that have been dumped, as they call it these days? Well, I think probably I'm in accord with the journalist who put together the three front pages that go with the tax issue. For the Daily Express, every meeting I have is who can be taxed to pay benefits. That's Pat McFadden, who you often hear, of course, on this show. It's very much like there's no cash left in the till note, isn't it? There's also the front page of the Telegraph. Every meeting I have is who can be taxed to pay benefits to others? And the Times, Labour only asks, who can be taxed to pay benefits? For the Daily Mail, it's Labour's poisonous puppet master and a £1 million cover-up, the puppet master obviously being Peter Mandelson. And let's give you another aspect of it that the Eye features. Mandelson files reveal how the PM's authority crumbled. Now to the LBC app, where there's full details on that, but they go, or we go, my colleagues go, I can't breathe. Body cam clip shows officers handcuffing student as he lay dying on the floor. And I'm going to my LBC colleague who was covering that, Benji High, who was covering that yesterday. It is an absolute day of shame, I have to say, for that particular peace force, now that the body cam footage has been released. And the appalling murderer pretending he sustained an injury to his eye. Those police officers, my goodness me, they really have brought shame and disgrace onto their particular force. Or service, whatever they call it down there. It's also the lead story on the Sun Online as well. Left to die. Cops ignore dying knife victim's plea. You actually hear the young man saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Oh, that would be the same words as George Floyd in the US some years ago. And what happened then? Well, we had the future Prime Minister taking the knee. We had football players taking the knee. Do you think we'll see the same for this young white boy? No, me neither. Wonder why? Wonder why the police decided to take the story of the, I think he's 25-year-old Sikh male, over the dying 18-year-old white boy. Wonder why that was. When do you suppose the protest movement will start? When do you suppose Sakir will take the knee proudly? And all the football players? Anytime soon? Don't hold your breath. Elizabeth Simparnet. Elizabeth, what are you going to say? Good morning.
Well, that no white boy. It's just heartbreaking.
Isn't it awful?
Heartbreaking.
Let's talk about the we're going to be speaking to my colleague in a minute who's covered that. So let's have a word, if I might, with you on what you take from those documents yesterday.
Well, the first thing I'd say is the electorate voted for Labour and Starmer and got Mandelson as PM.
Extraordinary, isn't it?
And it's unbelievable. And this man, a friend of a convicted paedophile, seems to have been all-powerful and to have had the top of the Labour Party in this role.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yep, they absolutely venerate the man, don't they? He can do no wrong, it would appear.
Well, he's got some power. We'd all like to know, is it just him? Are there other people in the background? But certainly, we don't seem to be...
If you think of his pedigree, in that he was, if not the chief architect, he was one of the chief designers of the New Labour project. So he helped with Tony Blair. He indeed helped with Gordon Brown. His pedigree, if you're a Labour politician, is pretty impressive. So you're going to listen. I'm not, by the way, supporting what he's saying, but I'm just trying to explain why he seems to have such sway on them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's old news as well. Peter Mandelson was old news, you know, and it was all Blair. So why do they carry on with that? It's like they ditched everything they thought they were going to do and just thought, let's follow Mandelson. It's unbelievable.
Is it, lastly, the reality that the Labour government came in, that it wasn't an acclaimed victory, it was an absolute disgust and distaste of the Conservatives that had run out of juice after 14 years. So Labour came into power actually ill-prepared and without a plan.
Totally, totally without a plan, and as it's turned out, absolutely useless.
Ill-prepared, incompetent. Elizabeth, thanks for getting started. We will come to more reaction, by the way. Please don't think we're not going to be covering that story concerning that poor student. We certainly are. But let's get Peter and Sterling in. Again, what you've learned from the Mandelson files. You're on the radio. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Nick. So, firstly, I mean, I almost feel a little bit sorry for the Prime Minister. He needs to go. He's incompetent, and he's clearly lost control of the ship.
Yeah.
I'm just disgusted by the rest of them. McFadden, see, they were all taking orders from Mandelson and working under the PM. I mean, McFadden complaining about who do we tax to pay for benefits and that. Why didn't he speak out? Why didn't he resign? And they did try to with the welfare rebellion. So it looks like everyone is toxic.
But Peter, I think, and you're right to remind us of that welfare rebellion, which was around this time, actually, I think it was in June of last year. But you now can see why that was never going to clear Sir Keir's colleagues, because they're absolutely hooked on ensuring that welfare payments go out to their voters. Because who's going to vote for a party that's going to suddenly switch off £70,000 a year?
It wasn't the cabinet that rebelled, though, was it?
No, it's his backbenchers. It's his backbenchers. No, absolutely. Well, some of his cabinet did, but no, they knew they'd never get... Because they know they won't get any votes.
I know, but I think this shows that it's not just the Prime Minister. It's all of them. It's the cabinet ministers, it's even Streeting, and I think this kind of shows why Burnham, if he wins his by-election, is perfect, because he's not a cabinet minister. He's coming in from outside now. He was under previous governments and stuff, but he was the mayor of Great Manchester. He's not been in those circles for a while. He may have been in conversations, but he's not been in cabinet meetings. He's not been in the whole toxic circus that is at Downing Street. So I think this just shows they need a clear out.
More on this. Thanks, Peter. Let's pick up on that story concerning those police officers in Southampton. I've already said and made my point that I think the behaviour is appalling, but people are equally angry with me. Horace in Palmer's Green, why are you trying to drum up hatred this morning? The policeman in the George Floyd case knelt on his back on purpose. The policeman in this case just didn't do his job properly. You're trying to start a race riot? No, I'm not at all. I'm just trying to highlight the fact that this young man has been left behind. Kat says, spot on about this poor young boy that got stabbed. Thank you for calling it out. There will be no protests for this young lad, as you said. Well, let's pick up on that story. Benji High, LBC's reporter, was covering the sentencing at Southampton Crown Court yesterday, has seen the video and gives us this full report. Benji, good morning.
Nick, morning. This is an incident, a case that has caused utter outrage. 18-year-old Henry Novak, walking home alone from an evening with his university friends in Southampton in December last year, and he comes across a man with an 8-inch dagger, Vikram Digra, carrying the ceremonial knife, claiming it was part of his Sikh faith, and he stabbed Henry multiple times. Then in a 999 call, Mr. Digra plays the victim. He tells police it was he who'd been racially and physically assaulted by Henry Novak. So when officers arrive, they handcuff not the man who's just wielded a knife, but the wounded, the defenseless, the unarmed student with no proof of wrongdoing. The law enforcement response now revealed to the public after police release the body cam footage of the arrest, and it makes for uncomfortable listening.
What's your name, mate?
Stud.
Right, let's get you out of there, shall we?
You've been stabbed. Whereabouts?
I don't think you have, mate.
Oh,
put the hand in the cuff, mate.
Yeah.
Henry told police he could not breathe 9 times. He told them he'd been stabbed 4 times, and he did not resist. The words used by Henry's father, Mark, to describe what you just heard were shocking, inhumane, and degrading.
Instead of being treated as a dying victim, police formally arrested Henry for assault and read him his rights. That was the last thing he heard. Henry did not die with dignity. He did not die with the care he deserved. He lost consciousness before anyone believed him.
Henry's dad said he still holds Vikram Digra 100% responsible for the murder of his son. Medical experts in the trial concluding Henry may not have been able to be saved, however quickly he'd received first aid from police, such were the extent of his wounds. But Mark, Henry's father, is urging the government to treat knife crime as a national emergency, and he's demanding a full, fearless, transparent investigation into Hampshire Police. That is now underway. The force since apologising for arresting Henry, suggesting that officers were misled by Digwa's lies. The knifeman, described by the prosecution as a dishonest person with a weapon obsession, who filmed his dying victim. He was convicted on Thursday and sentenced yesterday in front of dozens of his own relatives and those of Henry Novak, many of whom were in tears. Nick, we heard a clip just before of Mark Novak outside court. Inside court, he spoke of being tormented, consumed by the thoughts of his son's final final moments, the nightmare of not knowing exactly what happens, a fate he calls worse than hell. His stepmother, Katie, sharing how this tragedy has left bereaved siblings traumatized. One of them, Olivia, paying tribute not only to her brother, but her best friend and other family members, denying that Henry would ever be racist or disrespectful. Local MPs expressing their heartbreak, the judge commending their courage too, the family's courage. Just finally, Nick, Sikhs are permitted legally to carry a small knife as a symbol of spiritual duty. Digra was carrying that and a second bigger blade. The judge slamming him for distorting, abusing religious traditions, bringing shame and dishonour to the Sikh community and, the judge says, stirring up racial hatred. There was a verbal altercation between the two families as the hearing drew to a close, a release of anger and emotion following what the judge called a particularly difficult case, and Digwa will serve a minimum term of 21 years in prison.
Benji Hire reporting from outside Southampton Crown Court for LBC, and we're expecting to hear a statement from former UK leader Nigel Farage on this issue later this morning, and of course we'll bring you whatever Mr. Farage might say. Just before we go to the news headlines, I should tell you, we are going to give this full reaction or full opportunity for your reaction in a moment. Just pick up on some of them. Lee in Mansfield, the behaviour of the police is the result of DEI hiring, terrible wages and the requirement to have a degree over having common sense. The politicians and the media have spent years trying to convince everyone that us white people are all racist, while everyone else in the community can commit crime with impunity. Robin Epsom, the police officers must be held accountable and prosecuted for, well, prosecuted for manslaughter. No, no, no. The family of the killer need to be charged. They are facing charges as well, so I will stop there because we don't want to prejudice any sentencing. But no, there's not manslaughter. There's just gross inability, gross incompetence. Lastly, Andy in Portsmouth. This unbelievably upsetting body cam footage proves the government and some of our police don't give a damn when white lives are taken. White lives matter too. If Starmer refuses to take the knee in Parliament today for this murdered British citizen, it shows he cares more about a foreign criminal in America than his own people. There is only one story today. I remind you, Mr. Farage is expected to be speaking sometime around 8 or later in that hour, and you will hear it here. Murdo, we're going to come to you for your reactions concerning the Mandelson files. It is a very busy day, and it's equally busy but difficult to get around London.
There's chaos on the underground, and there will be throughout today as the first 24-hour strike has started. I'm LBC's Joanne Webb with the latest.
More on that, and a cabinet minister joining us in the next half hour for his take, or their take, or the official government take on those files. 7.31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. The news headlines are from Dominic Ellis.
Hampshire police have released body cam footage of the moment officers initially handcuffed a student who had been stabbed and later died. Henry Novak was murdered by Vikram Digwa, who lied to police, telling them that he'd been the victim of a racial attack in Southampton last December. At least 9 people have been killed after Russia carried out a large-scale drone and missile attack across Ukraine overnight. Fighting has also continued in southern Lebanon, despite Donald Trump announcing that Israel and Hezbollah had agreed to halt attacks. And Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to meet his cabinet this morning after files released yesterday relating to the Lord Mandelson saga raised further questions about government unity. The papers included some ministers' private and unflattering views of the government. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
We are 10 days away from the World Cup, and we speak to Donald Trump's tourism ambassador about why it seems to be the case that not many people want to go to America.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans ordered by the 30th of June 2026. UK residents, see toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip for fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network as awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, just to update you, it has been confirmed that Nigel Farage will be speaking at around 8 o'clock this morning. You will hear it here. You do not need to touch your dial. And, of course, then the joy of LBC is you'll be able to react to it as well. And it will be about the tragedy of that student down in Southampton. So even as I speak, my colleagues are moving the running order or the agenda or the list of stories around to make sure that we cover that. And while we do that, let's bring to the conversation Christian May, who's editor-in-chief at City AM, to tell us, my goodness, if it's not a busy enough day already, we've now got oil prices. What's happening there, Christian? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, Westminster and many newsrooms, of course, were fully immersed in the document dump from the government yesterday. But at the same time, there were some dramatic and potentially quite confusing developments in the Middle East. We had a situation where the fragile ceasefire between the US and Iran looked like it was coming to an end. The two sides were exchanging fire. And then Israel was at the heart of this with their planned latest offensive against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Iran said that if Israel launched the threatened strike, it would then strike Israel. And it looked for a few hours last night as if we were going to go back to square one. Now, around that context, the oil price, it remains elevated. And I thought it was just worth checking in on quite what a ride it's been. We have to remember, before this war, at the beginning of this year, Brent crude barrels were trading at just over $60. They ramped up and up over the course of March and April. At their peak, at the very end of April, they were $118 a barrel. As of now, they're at 85, actually inching up a little bit this morning as that uncertainty lingers. But it appears that Donald Trump, in quite a colourful phone call, it would appear, to Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel last night, in which he said, you're effing crazy and the whole world hates you, seems to have talked Israel down off the ledge of an imminent attack on Lebanon. That is where things stand at the moment. And that's the context in which the oil price remains elevated. And I'll end by just pointing out that although $84 is a lot better than $118, it's a lot higher than $60. And the strategic release that was authorised by the international body a month or so ago effectively runs out in July. And traders that we were speaking to in the city yesterday said that if the Straits of Hormuz remain congested or not open and oil prices remain where they are by the end of this month, you're into a real danger zone.
Which store boss is getting their underwear in a twist over the lack of growth?
We heard from M&S yesterday in an annual report. A couple of things. Just as a quick aside, it's worth noting that the chief executive, Stuart Machin's, pay fell from about $7 million to about $3 million. Reason being...
Where do we start a whip round? How do we start a giving page?
I know that you're feeling for him. The board made the decision that given the consequences of the cyber attack that we talked about an awful lot at the time, they didn't feel it was appropriate to reward the sort of payouts and bonuses, an additional pay on top of salary that he'd enjoyed previously for having done a very, very good job with the business and with the share price. So he's had to tighten his belt a little bit in that regard, but it was the chairman, Archie Norman, who made some observations yesterday regarding government policy. And he said there's rarely been, in the history of Marks and Spencer, a time where the regulatory environment has been less friendly to growth and investment, and our tax burden has increased substantially in the year. He said that M&S would be able to ride this out, but said smaller businesses and smaller competitors are just less able to cope. And that was a view echoed by a number of other business leaders yesterday. We also heard from the chief executive of Stonegate, the largest pub company, who said that if the government's serious about reversing the rise in youth unemployment, they have to look at their own policy decisions. And, of course, they're referring to business rates, business taxes, labour costs and labour regulation.
finally, and you'll know far better than I on this, about this, how we had our first ever $1 trillion float.
Well, I'm sure that you've got your broker on speed dial and you want to get in the early rush for this IPO that's heading down the tracks, Nick. Anthropic, the AI giant, fired the starting gun on what it plans to be a $1 trillion initial public offering, taking its Claude AI system public in the US. Wants to squeak in just ahead of OpenAI, who will also be doing something very similar. As it stands, Anthropic's got a valuation based on its last fundraising round of around $900 billion, slightly ahead of OpenAI, which I think is about $852 billion. They are obviously fierce competitors. They both want to go public. They will both be enormous moments for US investors, for the markets. Just think of the fees that the bankers and advisors are going to earn on that one, Nick. And of course, we've also got Elon Musk's SpaceX, which is planning an even bigger $1.75 trillion IPO over in the States. So it'll be an absolute boom time, fireworks in the US markets, one way or another, when these businesses start to sell their shares.
Enjoy your day today. Thanks. Christian Mayer, Editor-in-Chief at City AM 740. Just want to reflect the different views that are coming in concerning the Henry Novak case, and we're all coming back to that. Amanda says, what happened to Henry Novak was absolute heart-wrenching. Do not, though, please compare this to George Floyd and stir up hatred and deliberately weaponise the news story as a dog whistle to the far right. Meanwhile, Eddie in East London, I'm a police officer, 25 years in the Met. I've never seen anything like it. My heart goes out to Henry Novak's family and friends. I 100% believe these officers must be sacked for gross incompetence. It's a disgrace. It makes me ashamed to be a police officer. Please don't be ashamed to be a police officer. You're a very brave body of men and women. I agree. These particular officers have let you down, but think of the tens of thousands who will go about their job keeping us safe today. Let's reflect on that. But that shows the two sides of the story. Some people think it's like a dog whistle comparing to George Floyd. Others says it's a day of shame and it needs to be done, and we'll come back to that. But there's a big story in London, which is, as we heard already just before the news, sadly, those tube strikes have gone ahead as the talks failed. Joanne Webb, LBC's travel editor, is at the LBC travel desk. What's the impact this morning? How's it looking? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, not looking good at all. The strike started just after midnight. It's a 24-hour strike, so that's all the way through today. Tomorrow there's a bit of a respite, but then on Thursday the strike returns. So for now, the Piccadilly, Central, Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are part suspended. The Circle and Waterloo and City lines are completely suspended. All the other lines are running, but with various delays. Some are minor delays, but some are severe delays. Now, I'm sure you know, Nick, it's pouring down with rain outside, so lots of people would have been using the tube anyway rather than walking. So very busy on the tube lines which are running. Lots of people are trying to get buses or London Overground or the DLR as an alternative. So they're getting very busy. And we are starting to see some queues at bus stops as well. So not a good idea to head out into London this morning. If you can work from home, obviously that's a good idea. If you can delay your journey, do so. But I know a lot of people have to go out and about. So allow yourself a lot of extra time for your journey this morning.
John Webb reporting from the LBC Travel Desk. Let's bring in the conversation on this. Susan Hall, who's leader of the Conservatives on the Greater Lumber Assembly, chairs the Police and Crime Committee, joining me now. Well, can you just remind my listeners the background to this, and then we'll talk. I'm sure you want to have a word about Sir Sadiq's stewardship of it. But what is the row that's going on here, Susan Hall? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's always confused with the unions, isn't it? But apparently it's all around staff or shift patterns. The union says that they haven't got enough assurances from TfL. So back they go into strike again. But the only thing is, Nick, you will remember, as I indeed do, in days gone by when you had strikes on the underground, that was it. There was nothing running. If you actually look at the TfL app at the moment, I know there are delays and severe delays, but at least some are running, which shows, I think, that the unions are losing a lot of grip. At least half now, apparently, of these drivers have moved from RMT to ASLEF. So at least there's something going. But you'd think these Labour politicians would want to get us all into work, wouldn't you, so they could tax us. We're in difficulties.
You're responding to the Mandelson files there. I see what you've done, Susan. What about that promise made by Sir Sadiq that we were going to have fewer strike days? Remind us of that and what's happened to it, Susan Hall.
Oh, I know. We've had over 150 days of strike action. But of course, you can't believe a word any of these Labour politicians say. He said right from the beginning there wouldn't be any strike days. Well, you know, we all knew that that would not be the case. And then you'll remember a couple of years ago, he suddenly found £30 million to pay them off with no strings attached whatsoever, which, you know, put TFL in a bad position trying to negotiate. But I feel for people that have got to get into work today because it's miserable. And as your reporter said, pouring with rain, it's not even easy to walk.
I don't know how they're going to get the money in to pay those taxes, as you rightly said right at the top. Susan Hall, thank you. Your leader of the Conservatives on the Greater London Assembly, 744. So reference those Mandelson files. Murdo's in Auchtermuchty to make a point on that. What did you learn yesterday, Murdo? Good morning.
Well, it's quite worrying being a farmer. We were told that the family farm tax was all about raising funds for the NHS, but as a result of the Mandelson files, that's not true. Also, VAT on school fees, we were told, was to improve education for the masses, but in going to the Mandelson files, that's not true. Everything that they're doing is about raising benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we know it. But was it, how much of a surprise, I have to admit, the fact that he spelt it out so bluntly was a surprise, but the message behind it, I was not surprised at all.
We were trying to console ourselves that when the inevitable happens, you know, we'll all have to pay inheritance tax at some sometime. You'll think, well, at least it's going to a good cause, but what we'll find out, it certainly isn't. It's just waste.
Well, it depends whether you think it's a good cause that families can stay at home making £70,000 a year while the rest of us go out to work and they find ways to tax us. Murdo, thank you. Have yourself a good day. Phil, you want to comment on the Henry Novak case, and you will, but it has to be the other side of the news, I'm afraid, because we are sensed at around 8 o'clock this morning we're going to be hearing from this man who's spoken about the killing, Nigel Farage, in a social media video post last night.
The police don't believe that he's been stabbed, don't check that he's been stabbed. Put him in handcuffs, and he dies lying on the ground.
Meanwhile, Peter Mandelson telling a senior member of the government, you'll have no regrets if you make sure that I become the ambassador. Well, we could have chosen the song Regrets, I Have a Few, or we could go with... They are just brilliant. You need people like Rory Bremner back to rework that song with appropriate lyrics. The Labour Minister, sorry, Senior Labour Minister on the round, Nick Thomas-Simmons, joins us after this. 7:46, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Hampshire police have released body cam footage of the moment officers initially handcuffed a student who'd been stabbed and later died. At least 10 people have been killed after Russia carried out a large-scale drone and missile attack on Ukrainian cities overnight. And Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to meet his cabinet after files released yesterday relating to the Lord Mandelson saga raised further questions about government unity. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne, where because of the strike on the Underground, the Circle and Waterloo and City lines are suspended. The Piccadilly, Central, Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are part suspended. All the other lines are running, but with delays. On the train, Southwestern Railway services aren't running between Fulwell and Shepperton because of the bad weather. Thames Link and Great Northern are disrupted between King's Cross and Hitchin because of overhead wire problems. And then also on Thames Link, services are delayed between Three Bridges and Horsham. There are big problems in London with the M4 being closed. Westbound. It's closed from Junction 3 at the A312 and the M25 Junction following a serious accident. And long delays on the Surrey stretch of the M25 clockwise to Junction 9 at Leatherhead, where a car has overturned.
This is LBC. Dreaming of a new kitchen? Getting started couldn't be easier. At Wix, you can begin planning your new kitchen with our design consultants. Simply arrange a free home measure or an in-store design consultation. Book your free kitchen design appointment and turn all your ideas into reality at Wix.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
So let me get this straight. You pack the sleeping bags?
Yes.
Mosquito repellent?
Yes.
And flipping badminton rackets?
Obviously.
But somehow, the tent is still at home.
Well, technically the garage. Look, on the Ring cameras, you can see it there. And there. Hey, where are you going?
To a hotel, Neil. Come on, kids.
Yay!
Always know what's happening at home with Ring. Available now at ring.com and selected retailers.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £122 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Whoop whoop! Thank you, faraway person.
Get in tonight's draw. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. It could be you. Estimated jackpot. Rules apply. 18 plus.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before 8, well, as questions continue to swirl about the so-called Mandelson files, perhaps we can get some answers now from senior Labour politician, Paymaster General and Minister for European Union Relations, Nick Thomas-Symonds. Good to have you on. Thank you for your time today, Minister. Start by getting a little bit personal. I note that there's none of your messages in the so-called Mandelson files, and this was because your phone was stolen. Is that correct, Minister? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and always good to join you. First of all, in terms of the stealing my phone, so that's not my, it was not my government phone, just to be clear, it was my personal phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember the date because it was my wife's birthday. It was 15th of October last year.
Maybe about the same time as Morgan McSweeney had his phone stolen then, Minister?
Apparently so.
Yeah. Are you running a government or phones for you?
I genuinely know you mean that, but Nick, and
but it's like extraordinary, isn't it, that these phones seem to go missing at this time? And I'm sorry if you've lost your phone, but my listeners are going to have a few question marks over this, Minister.
Well, they really shouldn't, because it was a quite horrible experience. Actually, I was walking down Marsham Street that evening, close to the Home Office, ironically, and three I can still picture them now, three people on mopeds. One of them swiped the phone, I say to other people who've had their phone stolen, it was a horrible experience. I lost not just WhatsApps, I lost a significant number of personal photos that meant a great deal to me.
I'm very sorry to hear that, but for the government to lose one phone could be regarded as misfortune. To lose both looks like carelessness, doesn't it, Minister?
I certainly wasn't carelessness, Nick. It was a horrible experience. But let me just say as well, in terms of my personal role here in government scrutiny, I was the person who opened the debate on the humble address in Parliament, and I was the person in February who was brokering the role of the Independent Intelligence and Security Committee in the documents that you see before you. So, I mean, I've been one of the people who's been pushing forward the transparency that I think is so important here.
We have 1,500 pages of files at a cost of £1 million. How do we get to that cost?
So this is the huge amount of official time that this has taken up. And listen, Nick, I'm not begrudging that or complaining about it, because I think transparency to Parliament is hugely important. But what that has meant is, in the Cabinet Office, you've had what we call a humble address team. So you have a team of officials that literally have been focused on this for, what is it now, coming up to 4 months. Now, I don't come on your show at all complaining about the cost of it, because I do think that transparency to Parliament and the public is something that is very important.
Is Number 10 still beleaguered and bereft, as Peter Mandelson describes it?
No, and I don't agree with, it won't surprise you to hear, Nick, I don't agree with some of those assessments that I've read. I would say, though, that in the summer of 2025, which is when those conversations take place, it was the case at that time that the Prime Minister was looking at restructuring Number 10. And what came out of it last September was the appointment of the first Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, Darren Jones. I think he comes on your show quite often.
He does, yes.
I've been working with very closely to drive forward delivery. And I think you just take the last week, you've been seeing that in action. I mean, the Prime Minister last week signed a bilateral treaty with Poland, which will not only toughen up and help with our position on tackling illegal migration and security, but also put defence jobs here in the UK as well.
If we come back to the Mandelson files, why was Peter Mandelson able to access our nuclear site at Barrow in Furness despite not having the necessary security vetting?
So I'm not sure, I've read through, but I'm not sure of the particular date of that, Nick. I don't know if you can point me to the date of that in the...
I can in a moment, but I don't know why the date is important. He gained access without having the clearing.
So what happened? Let me just take it in terms of, I assume that may be the period...
February, March 2025.
Right, so what happens here is that there is obviously the developed vetting, which I know has been the subject of much debate on your show, but this is because you had somebody who was member of the House of Lords, who was a Privy Councillor, former Cabinet Minister, and you can see the decisions that were taken at official, very senior official level in terms of access to information before we took up the posting. Now, of course, there were lessons to learn in that, Nick. Firstly, about the developed vetting and et cetera, and that process being complete, the point at which it's completed. But secondly, we are looking at the moment at this whole vetting process, particularly around Privy Councillors. It's something that's happened, that sharing of information. We call it in politics on Privy Council terms, that's been happening for many, many years. But I agree. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't be looking at this, and we are.
Are you one of those who do not know what Keir thinks or what Keir wants, Minister?
No.
Why are you surrounded by so many who are, then? What do you possess that they don't?
Well, my understanding from the papers was that was a comment from Peter Mandelson about mm-hmm. Number 10 rather mm-hmm. than what people in Number 10 themselves had said, Nick. But the point is this. I have never been in any
Number
doubt.
10 is not led, and none of them know what Keir thinks or what Keir wants.
But that's Peter Mandelson's words, Nick, mm-hmm. I think, in the files that I don't agree with. But I have found in the jobs I've had, and I've been on your show many times talking about the different things that I do in government, Prime Minister has always been crystal clear with me about what he wants when he's asked me to do them.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of people are talking about the amount of redactions that are taking place,
yes.
which ask yet more questions about a lack of transparency. What else can there possibly be to come out? Why yet more redactions?
So, first of all, the redactions that you see are the three asterisks redactions that you will see in these documents. There is not a redaction in the papers you see, Nick, that is at the behest of a minister. No minister, for political reasons, or indeed others, or indeed any special advisor, has made that decision.
No, but Peter Mandelson has.
No, a
statement from the Cabinet Office says, on March the 31st, the Cabinet Office wrote to Peter Mandelson via his solicitors to request any information held on his personal phone. Peter Mandelson declined to comply. The government has no further recourse to search the personal devices of Peter Mandelson. Mm. Why not?
Well, because governments do not have the legal powers to commandeer people's personal devices. I understand. There's two different points here, though. There's the redactions in the papers themselves that you've got, and that was done. I just need to emphasise this thing, because it's not a political decision. It was done by robust, independent Intelligence and Security Committee of Parliament. That's
but they're
why
farcical, Minister. One of the most extreme examples, as one paper points out, is a letter from Mandelson to John Healey, the Defence Secretary, February of last year. Apart from the letterhead and the address of the recipient, the only part not redacted are the words, Dear John, and the rest is just tip-exed out. What is the point of publishing that? It's farcical.
But again, though, Nick, it's done by the agreement between officials and the Intelligence and Security Committee. It's on the basis of two things, either national security or undermining international relations. Ministers have not quite rightly played a part in it. That has been done independently, and I think that is the way it should have proceeded.
Where do we move now with the note from your colleague Pat McFadden, talking about every meeting I have is who can be taxed to pay benefits? That's the true face of this Labour Party, isn't it? That's why you rode back from that welfare reform a year ago, because you wouldn't get it past your backbenchers, because you are the welfare party and you're not on the side of the working man and woman, as Kemi Badenoch says.
Well, I don't... it won't surprise you...
Well,
no,
why
I
would your colleague say that, then?
Well, Pat, first... Look, I've known Pat for many years. I worked very closely with him in the Cabinet Office, Nick. And Pat's view has always been, it isn't a debate about benefits, it is a debate about opportunity. It is, like, for example, he may even have been on your show last week talking about the work he's doing at the moment on the levels of youth unemployment in the UK and what we're doing to try and reduce it. But let me also just say, the Parliamentary Labour Party, and he makes the point, I think, Pat, about he's been in meetings with people, have been, as he sees it, asking the wrong questions. But the Parliamentary Labour Party has also been voting for things that are about economic growth. That's why we voted
for the Well, you certainly voted for more benefits. You've taken up a total of £64 billion in the lifetime of this Parliament, which underscores what Pat McFadden is saying. You are the welfare party. You are not on the side of the working man or woman.
But that amount you're talking about, you have to break it down. We're also talking about pensions. When people talk about the welfare bill, I would entirely agree, as would across government, the bills of economic and social failure, which are young people who are out of work, who need opportunity, absolutely, we have to change that. But at the other hand, when we're talking about increasing the state pension by up to £575, which means that bill is going up, that is something that I'm in support of.
Lastly, on a totally unrelated story, the tragedy that played out on the streets of Southampton that was addressed in Southampton Crown Court. A word on what happens that needs to happen now as regards the officers and indeed that particular police force. Minister.
Nick, that was harrowing and shocking footage, and I'm sure that your listeners having, or viewers having seen that body cam footage. The police at the scene, they have very serious questions to answer, and this is every parent's nightmare. I was hearing what Henry's dad was saying on a previous show a moment or two ago. The perpetrator, by the way, who is responsible for this murder, lied and lied and lied, and we shouldn't forget that.
But does it show two-tier policing, Nick Thomas Simmons?
Nick, this particular situation, very serious questions to answer. I would hesitate, though, in terms of the police more broadly. I think I shadowed many Home Office briefs. I used to come on your show regularly to talk about them.
You did.
I think we shouldn't forget around the country police officers who run towards danger and put their bodies on the line when others are walking in the opposite direction. But in this instance, absolutely serious questions to answer.
Grateful for your time this morning. Thank you, Nick Thomas Simmons, Minister for European Union Relations and Paymaster General, appearing here on LBC, taking us to 1 minute after 8. Let's start the headlines with the caveat that if Nigel Farage starts talking, we'll of course cross to that. But Dominic Ellis in the newsroom.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, police have released body cam footage of the moment officers handcuffed a student who'd been stabbed in Southampton. Henry Novak was killed by Vikram Digwa last December, who lied to police telling them that he'd been the victim of a racial attack. Sir Keir Starmer has backed the decision by the police watchdog to investigate how the Hampshire force responded. Henry's father, Mark, has called for a full, fearless and transparent investigation.
We hold Vikram Digwa solely and 100% responsible for the brutal murder of our son. But Henry should not have died on the streets of Southampton in police custody. The way he was treated was inhumane and degrading.
23-year-old Vikram Digwa was jailed for murder yesterday and will serve a minimum of 21 years in prison. You can read more on this story on the LBC app. At least 10 people have been killed after Russia carried out a large-scale drone and missile attack across Ukraine overnight. Fighting has also continued in southern Lebanon, despite President Trump announcing that Israel and Hezbollah had agreed to halt attacks. Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to chair a meeting of his cabinet after yesterday's release of the Peter Mandelson files revealed divisions within the Labour Party. The documents show an exchange between the former US ambassador and the now Work and Pension Secretary over increasing taxes to pay for benefits. Pat McFadden said that his colleagues were asking the wrong questions. Cabinet Office Minister Nick Thomas Simmons had just told Nick that Mr McFadden is focused on bringing the welfare bill down and tackling youth unemployment.
Look, I've known Pat for many years. I worked very closely with him in the Cabinet Office, Nick. And Pat's view has always been, it isn't a debate about benefits. It is a debate about opportunity. It is a like, for example, he may even have been on your show last week talking about the work he's doing at the moment on the levels of youth unemployment in the UK and what we're doing to try and reduce it.
The former SNP chief executive Peter Murrell is due in court again today after admitting embezzling £400,000 from the party. Murrell will appear at the High Court in Edinburgh, where prosecutors will outline the facts of the case. The 61-year-old, who's the estranged husband of the former Scotland First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, will be sentenced later this month. And Transport for London says it is bitterly disappointed that the RMT union has decided to go ahead with two more tube strikes. The first is already underway and continues until midnight. The second is on Thursday. 5 hours of talks yesterday ended without an agreement on proposed changes to driver shift patterns. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,338. It closed down 70 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas with a high today of 21 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compensa Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with the Compensa Market app. The simplest way to save.
When you take out a qualifying product to Compensa Market, one membership per year participating cinemas, two standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning to you. 5 minutes after eight, Tuesday the 2nd of June. While we wait for Nigel Farage to start speaking, we will continue, but don't worry. We will shake the running order, the news agenda, whatever you want to call it around to make it fit. We'll come back to the conversation, with which I close my talk with the government minister there, which was the action that needs to take over the killing of Henry Novak and the idea that it does lead to a two-tier policing, reminding you that his killer was, of course, a Sikh man. In other news later this morning, and another political story, all eyes north of the border.
Never mind Independence Day, today is Explanation Day when we finally find out why Peter Murrell stole more than £400,000 from the SNP. I'm Gina Davidson with all the latest.
You'll also be hearing from Labour grandee David, now Lord Blunkett. There's been much said in recent weeks over the problems of getting young people into work. He's going to be talking about a Roosevelt sort of deal. Speaking in 1931, then President Franklin D. Roosevelt implemented what was called the New Deal for Working People.
In the working out of a great national program, it is true that the toes of some people are being stepped on and are going to be stepped on.
Lord Blunkett will be talking about a new deal for young people. More on that. And in the world of sport, a comeback queen, Serena Williams. Yes, she will be performing later this month. She's 44 competing there. We wish her nothing but good fortune. And talking about sport. World in Motion by New Order. John Barnes joining us later in the show. A, on the chances in the World Cup, and B, he's reworked and re-released that song. You'll hear it here in the next hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A listener warning, particularly if there are younger sensitive ears, for us to give you the full background to that tragedy that played out in Southampton. You're going to have to hear some rather grim tape. You're going to have to hear the body cam footage as well. And we're actually going straight to Nigel Farage.
At ourselves as a country and what we've become. The murder of 18-year-old student Henry Novak was bad enough of itself, but compounded in the most extraordinary way by the behaviour of the police officers. Many of us have asked for the footage to be released, and finally, last night, it was. Let me show you just 30 seconds of what happened on that fateful evening in Southampton.
So Nigel Farage is now displaying the video. We will play you the audio of that video a little bit later, but that's why you can't currently hear anything, because Mr. Farage is portraying the video of when the police officers arrived at the scene to found what was clearly a dying, we subsequently learnt, a dying student having been the victim of that attack. Let's go back to Nigel Farage, who's still showing video, I'm told, so we will wait until we can come back. This, of course, is the case of Henry Novak. I was just addressing that.
Just think of it.
With the minister.
An 18-year-old lad, a student, been out with some friends for the evening, on the way home, and victim of a sustained attack. Stabbed several times, chased down the street. Stabbed seriously 5 times. And what happens? Well, the assailant's brother rings the police to say, we've just been racially attacked and abused by a white guy. The sirens blare. They arrive. Young Henry must have thought that at last help was at hand, but far, far from it. The police act from the beginning to the end, and the end when he dies, lying on a pavement, having been stabbed in handcuffs, the last thing he heard on this earth was him being read his rights by the police. He was actually treated in a way that meant an accusation of a racial slur was treated more seriously than an act of murder. What does he say? I can't breathe. Familiar words? Remember career criminal George Floyd, who died in appalling circumstances in Midwest America a few years ago. Remember the reaction to that? And the way the police behaved. Within a few days, Keir Starmer was taking the knee. Black Lives Matter exploded all over the country. Churchill's statue was defaced. The cenotaph was vandalised. And yet, what has the public reaction been from our leaders and politicians? And indeed, to be frank, much of the media to this. Silence. Absolute silence. Proof, if ever there was any, that we're living in a two-tier culture in this country where the rights and privileges of white people matter less than those of ethnic minorities. Now, what has happened over the last few decades is, without anybody being asked, without anybody ever voting for it, we've been subjected to mass immigration on a scale that is truly unbelievable. At least 10 million new people have come to Britain in the last 20 years. And let's be clear, many of them are great people who work hard, have integrated and made their lives here. But far too many that have come have refused to integrate, are leading parallel lives and leaving many of our cities almost culturally unrecognisable from what they've always been. But to stop any criticism of this, we brought in hate speech laws. We brought in a DEI agenda. We brought in what is called positive discrimination in favour of ethnic minorities over those of white people whose families have lived in Britain, in many cases, for centuries. That is the mess that we've got into. And that is why, in some ways, what happened, and despite the appalling behaviour of those police officers, but in some ways, what happened on that night in Southampton perhaps shouldn't be a surprise in two-tier Britain. Alison Pearson, journalist on the Daily Telegraph, received yesterday an email from an experienced, long-serving Hampshire police officer. In it, he makes perfectly clear that the police are told that they must respond to situations in different ways according to the ethnicity of those involved in the crime or potential crime. He also describes how a DEI agenda has gone so far through the police that people now get promoted, not on the basis of merit, not on the basis of ability, but on the basis of what their racial or religious origin is. That has led to a decline in policing standards. But think of this. Much as we may condemn the two police officers involved here, think of this. The biggest fear a police officer now has going about his or her duty on the street is the fear of being reported for having acted in a way that was racially biased. That fear, now greater than dealing with a dying man living on the ground. Henry's family have responded to this in just the most extraordinarily dignified way. But I suggest the rest of us respond to this with pure, cold rage. This is wrong. All the values and standards of living in a free country where everybody is judged equally before the law have been trashed and thrown away. And there are one or two things that need to happen very quickly. The first is that the police complaints operation, the IOPC, needs to get to the bottom of this and produce a report very, very quickly. Secondly, even through to sentencing, the sentence given was actually lower than the recommended minimum for a sustained, aggressive, murderous assault. And I'll be writing today to the Attorney General asking him to review the sentence. But the most important thing that needs to change, that has to change, if our society is not to be ripped apart, where communities start to distrust each other and deeply distrust the police and all the other institutions of this country, is we need a change in culture. Enough of anti-white prejudice. A promotion of the idea that white lives matter just as much as black lives. An end to DEI and positive discrimination, but a country that treats everybody equally and fairly before the law. This is serious. This is urgent. I fear for where our society would be in a few short years if we don't grip this and do it very, very quickly. I want to send my sincerest condolences, the country's sincerest condolences, to Henry's family. I hope this is the last time a British police force operates in this way. But the fish rots from the head down. It is up to government and police chiefs to change this culture and to start that process today. Thank you.
Well, that's Nigel Farage speaking. Let's suspend the 8:15 LBC News headlines, OK? Just to underscore what he says, and I'll leave you to make your decisions from this. When he says, and I'll run you through what he was saying, he talked about a media silence. Well, I can tell you, because I've got what are called monitors or television sets here, Sky News didn't take it, the BBC didn't take that, ITV didn't take that. Had that been any other party political leader, do you think had Kemi Badenoch, even Sir Ed Davey addressed it, do you think they might have taken it? Suddenly, Professor Sir John Curtis, writing in today's Daily Mail, talking about how Reform are now seem to be putting together a coalition of people who want change. Well, maybe he's onto something. Let me only briefly take you through what he said. We'll help. So if you're waiting for the news, we'll do that. A full news bulletin at 8:30. It's 15 minutes past eight. So Nigel Farage has just talked about how young Henry would have thought help was at hand when he heard the sirens blare. What was the police action, though? The last thing he heard was that he was read his rights as he was lying there dying. What does he say? I can't breathe. Mr. Farage reminded you the words of the, he described him as career criminal, George Floyd, dying in horrible circumstances. He then addressed that media silence I've just mentioned. He said, we're living in a two-tier culture in this country. He talked about in the last two decades, we've been subjected to mass immigration without a vote. 10 million people, he said, have arrived in the last 20 years. Many are great people, he wanted to stress. But they've brought in criticism, and to stop criticism, they have brought in hate laws and positive discrimination. It shouldn't be a surprise, sadly, he said, what happened in two-tier Britain down in Southampton. He then talked of a note that had been received by Alison Pearson, a journalist of the Daily Telegraph, from an officer serving within the Hampshire Force. I remind you, that is where this murder took place. And that officer told Alison Pearson that police are told they must respond to situations in different ways according to the ethnicity of the people involved. Indeed, the officer went on to claim that police get promoted on similar policies. Mr. Farage spoke of a fear that they acted, for police have a fear that they could be discriminated or could not receive promotion if they seem to have acted in a way that was racially motivated. Mr. Farage says this has to be greeted with a pure, cold rage. All the values of this country have been trashed, said Mr. Farage. He then referred to the sentencing of the Sikh killer. The sentence was lower than the recommended minimum, and Mr. Farage confirmed that he would be writing to the Attorney General asking for a review of the sentence. But he went on to say the most important thing that has to change is a need to change in our culture. There is enough of anti-white prejudice. White lives matter as much as black lives matter, said Mr. Farage. This is serious. I fear for the future of society. And he said that it's important that the room remember that that student and the way in which she died. That's a précis of what we heard. So let's bring you back with how this story played out. Here is the body cam footage. I remind you again, there will be some distressing listening, particularly for younger ears. Henry Novak being arrested after being fatally stabbed by Vikram Digvar.
What's your name, mate?
Bobby Stud.
Right, let's get you out of there, shall we?
Stop, mate.
Bobby Stud. You've been stabbed? Whereabouts? I don't think you have, mate.
That's what you're doing. Oh, I can't breathe.
Put the hand in the cuff, mate.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. He died, effectively bled out on that street. Here's his father, Mark Novak, speaking with extraordinary dignity outside Southampton Crown Court yesterday, following the sentencing.
Instead of being treated as a dying victim, police formally arrested Henry for assault and read him his rights. That was the last thing he heard. Henry did not die with dignity. He did not die with the care he deserved. He lost consciousness before anyone believed him.
So much to discuss from this. Is there that Mr. Farage is saying this needs to be greeted with a pure cold rage? Do we look at it, as Mr. Farage says, and reminded us, I can't breathe, when we heard that from, to use Mr. Farage's words, the career criminal George Floyd? Have we been, again to use Mr. Farage's words, subjected to this biggest change, last two decades, mass immigration without a vote, 10 million people arriving in the last 20 years. Many are great people. Phil in St. Helens, Phil, your reaction, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hiya, thanks for having me on.
Not at all.
I know I speak for a lot of Brits today. This has really angered me, this case. I've always been on the fence about two-tier policing. I think it's we've got like a very broken and inconsistent sentencing and judicial system, mm-hmm. which leads to the perception of two-tier policing. Mm-hmm. But this case, I can guarantee you that the police officers have reacted with... As soon as the race card was pulled, it was like they've acted not objectively, and they've pretty much acted as judge, jury, and executioner. They've not assessed the situation. I can guarantee you if the shoe was on the other foot, and it was a person of colour on the floor, then it would have been a different story.
Well, I think it's fair to say that they've certainly seemed to side with the Sikh man who is standing, claiming that he has an injury to his eye, although if you look at the video you can't see it, and rather ignored what turned out to be the dying requests of the white boy.
Yes, yes. And I will stress that 34 years ago we had a different kind of two-tier policing. The handling of the Stevens Lawrence case,
yep.
The events that led to the Brixton and the Toxteth riots,
yeah, and St. Paul's, of course in Bristol, yeah, all over,
So, but now that was, you know, we I accept that, but now I think the shoe is on the other foot. The police in this case have not acted objectively, and they basically, as soon as the race card was pulled, they've just right. Well, we don't want to be perceived as racist. We're going to protect this ethnic minority, and you know, and just to believe him wholeheartedly.
The fish rots from the head down is how Mr. Farage concluded his. I think he spoke for about 10 or so minutes. What needs to be done then by the government and the senior police force, senior police officers?
Well, this DEI woke narrative, which has been pushed on us for quite a long time now. It started off with good intentions, but we all know where good intentions lead. And, you know, this, as Nigel Farage said, there needs to be much more of an objective standard of policing where people, everybody's equal before the law.
That's what it's meant to be. Phil, thank you. Steve says, labelling us all as racist and far-right now of having different opinions to the liberal left. This is the result of the rhetoric. It's come from Keir Starmer. Ashley in Beaconsfield, I don't often agree with anything Nigel Farage says. However, he's absolutely spot on with this. The treatment of the young man and the footage has made me absolutely apoplectic. It's a disgrace. My mother was a senior member of the Met. The footage makes me feel ashamed of this country. Anyone who says two-tier policing isn't a thing, watch the footage and tell me differently. Edward is in Exeter. Your take on this, Edward. You're on the radio. Good morning.
Hello. I just wanted to basically say that we shouldn't be tarring all of the police with the same brush. I've watched the video from beginning to end, and the police officers that arrived after he was already in handcuffs actually started to check his vital signs, and they said that we should check to see if he actually has been stabbed. So I think the blame of this incident should lay firmly at the feet of the first officer that was on the scene.
Yeah, well, the blame lies at the killer, the murderer, Vikram Dugvar. Let's be honest about it. Members of his family who concoct a story. So let's be fair about this.
But the police officer that dragged him out and didn't listen to him or when he said that he'd been stabbed and so on and so forth when he clearly wasn't resisting should be held accountable for his actions.
Can I ask you, when Mr. Farage says, and I just want to get the note, because I was writing it down, here we are, that we have been subjected, over the last 2 decades, we've been subjected to mass immigration without a vote. Do you feel you've been subjected to mass immigration without a vote?
I do. I was actually voted in as a councillor for reform in Exeter.
Oh, right. So last month, in May?
No, last year I was actually expelled from reform because I held reform accountable for something completely different didn't like it. So where are you politically now? I'm independent now, so I'm an independent councillor in Exeter. And I would just like to say, actually, that I think the politicians aren't exactly the people that we should be blaming for what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
We should be legalising pepper spray. There should be mandatory sentences for carrying a knife. And politicians have basically sat on their hands on what I believe is the national emergency.
You're not alone in thinking we should legalise pepper spray. Why would you do that? You mean citizens could carry it?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason that I'm saying that is because the most common reason for carrying a knife is people say that it's for their own self-defense.
Yeah.
But if we give people a non-lethal alternative to carrying a knife, then nobody is going to end up dying. And anybody that is carrying a knife is clearly carrying it for much more malicious purposes.
Not if you're a Sikh. You're carrying it because it's one of your basic tenets of your belief.
It should be banned completely.
All right. Edward, thank you. I'm only finishing to get more people involved. Thanks, Edward. Wes in Hammersmith. Wes, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning again, Nick. I just think there's too much... because I just watched the video. And obviously, police are responding to an incident. Somebody's obviously, like you said before, it should be the family that should be to blame.
Yeah, well, the mother is facing it. Yep, she's going to face sentencing. Yep.
So they've came, obviously, all the time, I'm assuming. I'm not a police officer.
No.
But I'm assuming that when they arrest people, oh, I'm not well, I'm having a heart attack, I feel sick. So upon reflection, what are the police supposed to do? Because they're always being scrutinised for every little thing they do. And, of course, yes, the race card
has been
played.
Well, they're not meant to turn a dying boy over and hang off him. Yeah.
150%. But at the time, they were responding to an incident where this guy has been told by all the lying public around him that he's the aggressor.
But they have to rise above that, don't they? That's the powers that they have, and hopefully the training that they receive. They're going to be given all sorts of contradictory messages throughout their police career. They're not. Mm-hmm. No one's ever going to say, I done it, Gov.
Yeah, 100%. But if within the first 10 seconds, they've had to make an assessment what they thought was right. And I just think sometimes, I'm not a fan of the...
I'm sorry to hear that. Let's talk again, Wes. You know we can't let that material to air. I'm sorry you suffered that loss. I know that you know the person of whom you speak. Let's move on, but thank you for that. In fact, we move on by breaking news. You're listening to LBC, 8:26 is the time. I'm afraid the sad news that the body of that missing 11-year-old boy has been found in the River Don in Yorkshire. So that is the hunt that's been going on for some days. So the police and other authorities had informed the parents that sadly there was zero chance of the young man being found alive. It's now confirmed that the 11-year-old boy's body has been found, was missing in the River Don. Police statement to follow. More update, I'm sure, on the LBC News Bulletin. Let's come back to what you're saying. This comes in from Lee. The word racist has been weaponised. One cannot accuse anyone of any colour without being called a racist. Fear of calling out the grooming gangs is called as being mostly Pakistani. This must stop, and I don't care if I'm called a far-right racist. Paul, I'm a retired officer, and I'm disgusted and ashamed of what the police have become. As soon as someone tells you they've been stabbed, that becomes priority. Nothing else matters. The two officers and senior officers that night should also feel the full weight of the law, but unfortunately, I doubt it. Carl's in Shipley on this. Carl, you're on the radio. What do you want to say? Good morning.
Good morning. I think everyone can see the police have clearly made a mistake. They will no doubt hold their hands up to it, and the judiciary and the judicial process will deal with that. The problem for me is that so many people now have the opportunity that they've been looking for and are eager for to turn this into something that can even cause more racial divide in our country. And their own inherent racism, including many people in the media, individuals, not just organisations, who harbour their own racism, not just about people who have been coming over on boats in the last few years, but since a lot of people have been coming over from the end of World War II, and they have never been comfortable with it, and using words like changes in our cultural norms and all this kind of nonsense. And that's what the problem is. It's just an excuse, because for every one of this case that we're reporting on now, there will be endless cases that have been against black people. And if you Google, you'll get. I think Wes was trying to highlight one, and you may, for legal reasons, have stopped him. Fair enough. But there'll be many cases.
Well, of
historically.
Course. We only have to go back to Stephen Lawrence. I mean, there are so many examples.
Exactly. So why?
And then there's the fire at the New Cross fire. I mean, there are so many
and
examples.
So many.
Carl, I'm absolutely acknowledging the way people, non-white people, were policed was appalling. But do you not see it's now in a danger of coming round the other way?
No, I don't at all. Because nowadays in our media and in our society, feelings dominate over facts.
Well, what happened that night in Southampton?
Question. Let me answer the question.
Carl, please. What happened that night in... If we're not seeing a repeat of the appalling way black and non-white people were policed in the days of Stephen Lawrence and the days of the New Cross fire, obviously we're seeing that with the way those Southampton officers acted.
Okay, and I've just confirmed that. And what you have to... Please, Nick, you know, the way you present your show, when you ask someone a question, let them answer. Don't try and impose what you want them to say on what they say, right? Now, the fact is, you ask me a question, I do not believe that the police have an inherent problem in and of themselves. Yes, individuals in the organisation will make mistakes, they'll hold up their hands, but there is not a direct vendetta against white people in this country, far from it. And this narrative that people are portraying are for other motivations. And you know the problem with that is, Nick? People have blood on their hands, because for every time we stir up trouble in this country, it increases racial attacks on the streets. And some people, individuals, including yourself, need to ask the question, am I comfortable with what I am doing?
Well, I'm certainly not comfortable with what happened to that 18-year-old boy in Southampton. I'm agreeing with that, and I wasn't comfortable. And I remember doing coverage of Stephen Lawrence, not for this radio station, for a different radio station, and indeed speaking with one of the killers. I remember doing that vividly in the late 90s. Carl, thank you. In the next hour, we're going north of the border.
Never mind Independence Day. Today is Explanation Day, when we finally find out why Peter Murrell stole more than £400,000 from the SNP. I'm Gina Davidson with all the latest.
It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nigel Farage has accused the government of overseeing a two-tier culture following the murder of Henry Novak in Southampton. Police have apologised after handcuffing the 18-year-old who had been stabbed after his killer lied to officers at the scene, saying that he'd been racially abused. At least 11 people have been killed after Russia carried out a large-scale drone and missile attack across Ukraine overnight. Fighting has also continued in southern Lebanon, despite President Trump announcing that Israel and Hezbollah had agreed to halt attacks. And Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to meet his cabinet this morning after files released yesterday relating to the Lord Mandelson saga raised further questions about government unity. The papers, including some ministers' private and unflattering views of the government. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas by the afternoon. A high of 21 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Three teenage boys convicted of serious sexual assault of girls as young as 14 were given rehabilitation orders and paid £26 in court fees. Now, I know they're teenagers, but what are we doing here?
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Chase is the digital bank that gives your savings a boost anytime, anywhere.
Even when I'm on the bus?
You bet. You could earn 4.5% AER variable, including a 2.25% AER fixed boost for 12 months. Right now with Chase, you could be boosting your way to...
our dream holiday!
Exactly. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross. Interest paid monthly, eligibility and terms apply.
Need anything from Tesco? Maybe some Parmaham, the proper one from here in Northern Italy, that's been hand-salted using expert techniques, then dry-cured for 20 months for a more intense, distinctive flavour.
We visit the world-famous Emilia-Romagna region of Italy for our finest Parmaham, included in our 3 for £8 deli deal with your Tesco Club card. The quality you need around the corner. Because every little helps. Selected larger stores, club card or app required.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And 4 giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park. Book now at nutcatch.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
We will come back to our conversation concerning, and we might play you a little bit more, and we certainly will come back to it in the next hour, exactly what Nigel Farage is saying. We won't play it all. It was a roughly, I would estimate around 10, 12 minutes, I would have thought, roughly, some pretty powerful comments. And I have to say again, when he talks there about there being a media silence, when you have someone who is the leader of a party of reform, whether you like him or loathe him, if Donald Trump had spoken, and some of you like and some of you loathe him, if Benjamin Netanyahu had spoken of something great important, some of you like and some of you loathe him, you have to listen to them. And having actually run Sky News many, many, many years ago, long before it ever started winning any awards, I can assure you, it was a rather fearsome bunch of footpads and ne'er-do-wells, I cannot believe they didn't take it. Anyway, he talked of a media silence. You make up your own mind. He also talked of there needs to be a pure, cold rage. All our values have been trashed, and we will return to that. But other politicians will be in the spotlight as well this morning. And I speak of Nicola Sturgeon, or more appropriately, possibly, her estranged husband. But here is the film of Scotland First Minister speaking with the BBC on Sunday about a necklace bought by Mr Murrell, coming in at £425.
Peter said to me, I've got a surprise for you. I saw you admiring this pendant and gave me it. Sorry. I loved that necklace.
I wonder if she kept it in the 1,946 fitted library, close to her £2,618.16 designer Lalique salt and pepper grinders. And just outside the window is an £81,277 Jaguar I-Pace, of which £57,500 was funded by the SNP. And she had no conscious memory of a 25-foot luxury motorhome outside her mother-in-law's house. Well, why would you? So how does the story move on today? LBC Scotland political editor Gina Davison joins me yet again to explain why. Gina, good morning again.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning. Yes, this is, well, I suppose you could call it DE Day for the SNP. Detailed explanation. We will have Peter Murrell back in the dock. He will be back in Edinburgh's High Court. He was, of course, Nicola Sturgeon's husband, chief executive of the SNP. And today we get the reasoning for just why he did what he did. Now, because he pled guilty last week in the court, we haven't had any evidence. We haven't had any explanations. No further detail apart from the list, as you were reading out some of it there, the 125 pages of the list of items which he bought with SNP funds during his embezzlement crime spree. So today we get what is described as the narrative. The prosecution will read it out. It's been agreed with his defence solicitors, and we should hopefully get to the bottom of just what went on, when he started, why he started using SNP funds to fund what the police said was a lavish lifestyle he couldn't otherwise afford. And yes, we will see him back in the dock. How he will look a week on, Nick, from the way he did last Monday when he was dressed very smartly in a navy suit, we should be able to tell you in about an hour's time when he's due to appear. And like I say, we will get that explanation from the prosecution, not just on what he bought and why he did it, but also how he managed to cover his tracks. Remember, the police talked about a lot of false invoices, which is why it took them so long to get to the bottom of it. That police investigation running since 2021 after the first allegations were made of money going missing. And as you say, we have heard from Nicola Sturgeon. I don't think we will hear anything further from her today. I think she thinks she has done her big television interview and explained her side of the story. Clearly emotional at times, very defiant to others. What's happened to that necklace that she described? We don't know whether or not that will come up in any kind of proceeds of crime. Again, we might get some more explanation on that today. But all eyes on Edinburgh's High Court to see Peter Murrell and to just hear a bit more detail, Nick, about just why he did what he did.
Gina, I know it's very difficult and you never really know until they begin, but is there a sense of how long it may go on today? Is it going to be dealt with in a morning, an entire court day, or do we not yet know?
We don't yet know, but the speculation, as you might imagine, Nick, pretty rife amongst the journalists here. And it seems to be, I think, that they think that it'll get done and dusted within the morning. And, of course, that will just mean that Peter Murrell, once this has all been read out, is remanded back in custody because he will not be sentenced until June the 23rd.
LBC Scotland political editor Gina Davidson reporting. 8:38 is the time now. Who's been holding on a long time? Steve in Guildford to talk about what Nigel Farage you heard on this radio station, I think actually exclusively on this radio station, about 30 minutes ago. Steve, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Nick. Yeah, the point you made, yeah, the media silence is deafening, really.
Well, why is that? Look, I'm no fan of Zach Polanski. If he'd said that he was going to address the fact that he allegedly hadn't paid his council tax, of course I'm going to take that live. You can't be judgmental in the news business like that.
Well, GMB, I watched it this morning at 7:30, said we're going to go live 8 o'clock to listen to Nigel Farage. Now, I was on the phone to you,
right,
and I watched it. It was one line. It was one line as a banner headline along the bottom.
Oh, yes, okay,
And I'll tell you something. The things that I pointed out from what Farage says was actually the process and the two-tier, not system with the police,
but
the two-tier
media.
Society.
We've got two-tier media here.
Exactly, and that just sort of corroborates what he was saying. Now, when you think about it, if the boot was on the other foot and the seat lab was on the floor and the police done out the wind, you'd have had a Royal Commission by now. You'd have had the Home Secretary at the site the next day.
Yeah.
You'd have had the police officers named in court. You'd have had the whole country in uproar. You'd have had the Prime Minister this morning making a decision saying this is not good enough. We're going to make another thing. You had the Lawrence family rolled out again. And I'll tell you something else. This is what we don't like anymore because it's too dear.
All right. Let's treat the family with great respect because they lost their relative in similar hideous circumstances at a very similar age, actually, down in Eltham, Steve. But I hear your rage and one television company saying, you see, this is the thing. Here's the thing, right? Actually, running Sky News is far easier than doing this, OK? Because what you have to balance when you do a show like this is I give you an opinion, that's what we do, because then I say something and you tell me that I'm a horse's backside and you ring up and we have a nice old chat about it, and that's what it's all about. And amazingly, I've got away with that for more than two decades. But you also have to have your news head on all the time, because I can't allow you to go to your place of work, to go and see your relatives, to have a cup of coffee later today. Did you hear what Nigel Farage said? No. What, did you not hear about a pure cold rage? No. I heard it on LBC. Oh, well, I didn't hear it. Now, it doesn't matter. I say the same about Zach Polanski, not a huge fan, but had he decided to make someone, you have to then have your news editor's hat on and think, right, I'm a news editor here first, I've got to get that out there. And in fact, it will then help inform our comment. What you can't decide is just censor people because you don't like them. That is not what news is about. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a lot in some of the papers every day. Be well. Thank you for your call. Where are you? 8:41. Let's get one more in. Simon in Basingstoke, you're on the radio. Simon, must do some of these emails. I'm even talking out loud now. Simon, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello, sir.
I'm not shocked you've been doing this for two decades, so you don't look a day over 25.
A day
you're a very handsome man. But you do it with such skill and courtesy. Oh, that's why you're still here.
I've no idea about that. But anyway, what do we take? Have we got two-tier country? Have we got two-tier sentencing? Have we got two-tier media?
Yes, we do. Oh, it's in every single area. There are 300,000 Somalis living in social housing in London. Mm-hmm. There are literally 4 or 5 million foreigners claiming benefits and accessing our public services, which would not happen in almost any other country outside of Europe.
Right. And well,
the policing is the most dangerous one. The policing of the criminal justice system is the most dangerous one.
Let me ask you, do you not think, and I'm not saying that London doesn't have its issues, have you been through Brussels lately?
No, I haven't, and I wouldn't go to Brussels if you paid me, because I understand how dangerous it is.
Sadly, and it's a city I used to go to a little bit when Britain was in the European Union, because I went there for professional reasons, it has changed so much. So I don't think it's a uniquely British thing, is it, Simon? What do you think?
I would totally agree, and I think it is. I was in Paris for business 2017 to 2018. I hadn't been to Paris for about 6 years. It was a different city.
Really?
It was far more dangerous. And the level of policing that existed was very high, but it was having no impact on the level of crime. I was travelling up to from a station, I think it was Gare du Nord, and I saw a woman in her 70s mugged. And this was in the middle of the day. This was about 4 o'clock.
So I hear what you say about this country, and I'm very interested you think there's two-tier. So just lastly, two-tier government, two-tier media, two-tier policing. What's the solution?
I don't think there is one. Oh, I think that this is the day you should contact Professor David Betts and speak to him, because this is how civil wars start.
Oh, let's hope that's not. I think we've got a ton of issues, but I don't think we're there. Simon, look after yourself. Thank you for your kind words about the show. John Harvey, this is despicable opportunism by Farage, exploiting the murder of a young man and the shambolic mishandling by the police to further inflame division and promote his agenda. Meanwhile, Andrew in Saltburn says the most responsible thing the media could do is treat this as another very tragic knife crime incident, rather than focusing on the very inflammatory race and religion angle. Respectfully, Andrew, I won't take lectures from you on how to do journalism, and I don't think that the editors of the Daily Telegraph, the Times, the Daily Mirror, the Guardian, the Daily Mail, the Star, the Sun need either. That is what makes this a specific story, because of that. It's a tragic knife crime, but with added aspects that promoted up the news agenda. Karen's in Sidcup. Karen, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. Firstly, I think the police officer, they absolutely failed in their duty. They're absolutely, the first priority should have been to save the life of that poor young boy that was stabbed viciously. You know, his murderer was absolutely evil. You know, he's...
Yes, he's the killer. Let's not lose sight of that.
It's absolutely, you know, despicable what he did. He absolutely did play the race card. But equally, I think if that police officer is using that as an excuse, then so have they. They are playing the race card too. I think the main, you know, that police officer, this shouldn't be a distraction. They need to be held responsible. They will have had first aid training.
Well, let me ask you this. What I would have thought would happen if you're arriving and you see this incident, there's a bloke lying on the ground clearly in pain, your first question is anyone hurt, and anyone hurt seriously? Is not, right, let's listen to this Asian gentleman, right, so he's been racist, right, let's nick him. That, to me, is where policing's gone wrong.
I think there was a report of an incident made by one party.
Yes,
and the police have turned up believing that party, that they're the victims.
But don't, when the coppers get out of the car, is it the first... But Karen, the first thing they say is, right, is anyone hurt? Who's hurt here?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that.
We'll get to racism in a minute. I'm not saying we're not going to. I just want to know, is anybody hurt and how badly? Yeah. That's what I'd be
asking. Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's gross misconduct. And they need to be sacked. They need to have their pension taken away. And they probably, to be fair, if they did actually know that he had been stabbed and they didn't administer first aid and they arrested him instead, then that's a more serious charge. They need to face criminal charges for that.
Karen, thank you for that. Coming up after the news, we'll hear from a true Labour grandee, David, now Lord Blunkett, talking with LBC a year ago, talking about the welfare rebellion. Remember that, within Labour ranks?
You've been humiliated, and the second is you've still got the problem. So solving the problem, not taking the hit, is the sensible solution.
And someone who'll be taking the hit later this month... Yes, it's that time of year again. Get used to it. Is is Serena Williams going to be the comeback queen at Queen's? At 44, more on that in the next hour. 8:47 now, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nigel Farage has accused the government of overseeing a two-tier culture following the murder of student Henry Novak in Southampton. A body has been recovered in the search for an 11-year-old boy who went missing in a river in South Yorkshire. And Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to meet his cabinet after files released yesterday relating to the Lord Mandelson saga raised further questions about government unity. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Ware. Because of the strike on the Underground, the Circle and Waterloo and City lines remain suspended. The Piccadilly, Central Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are part suspended. All the other lines are running but with delays. And on the train, Southwestern Railway services aren't running between Fulwell and Shepperton. It's because of the flooding. And Thames Link and Great Northern services are delayed by about 20 minutes between King's Cross and Hitchin because of problems with the overhead wires. On the roads, the M4 remains closed westbound between junctions 3 at the A312 and the M25 junction. It's following an accident and there are lengthy queues back onto the elevated section and on the surrounding routes, and severe delays on the M25 clockwise to junction 9 at Leatherhead after a car overturned earlier.
This is LBC.
The people of Britain love their ice baths. They've bought loads of them. With the Barclaycard Platinum, they could also save with 0% interest for up to 24 months on purchases, which is a nice, warm feeling. What you buy is your business. Helping you pay less interest is ours. Subject to financial status, T's and C's and exclusions apply. Check if you're eligible at barclaycard.co.uk. Representative example. 24.9% APR representative variable and 24.9% purchase rate per annum based on a £1,200 credit limit.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers. Because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no, just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Ready for a new kitchen? Wix Kitchen Experts can support you with clever designs and a professional installation. Book your free kitchen design appointment at Wix.
With the birthday draw, Global and ITV give you the chance to win a life-changing £1 million. In fact, the birthday draw is the only weekly draw where you can win £1 million for just £1. So, enter before midnight on Sunday from as little as £1 or via post at thebirthdaydraw.com. Is it your lucky day? From Global and ITV. T&Cs apply. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary. Verify at thebirthdaydraw.com/verify.
Hitter, it's your big McDonald's hunger corner. And it's not just any kind of hunger. It's the kind that calls for big arch. Stacked with juicy beef, cheddar cheese and big arch sauce. Oh, and don't forget those crispy onions. Hungry? You are now.
Served from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before nine, just while we're waiting to speak with Lord Blunkett, just to correct the record, Simon and Ernie, a caller gave a figure of 300,000 Somalians living in London. And we do try, and if we don't fact check absolutely of the moment, it doesn't mean that we're not doing it. So we need to put that number straight. Simon, I think you're slightly, well, you are misinformed. It's more in the region of 70 to 80,000. So let's get that number, and I'm very happy to set the record straight. So when you, and you all get furious that we don't correct it, we have to check those figures out, and we have done, and I'm very happy to put the record straight. Right, let's come back to what we heard from Nigel Farage around 40 minutes or so ago. Who's been hanging on the line? Ashish in Croydon. Thank you for hanging
Hello.
On.
Hello.
The point you want to make. Hello, sir.
I think Nigel Farage has got a point, and I agree with him 100%.
Right.
Nick, you know, you've covered the news, okay? When I look at the stories in the news, whether it's Southport, whether it's Nottingham, whether it's Birmingham, whether it's Peterborough train stabbing, whether it's Greenford Underpass, Bournemouth Beach, Beckenham Army Barracks.
Okay.
If this country is 87% white, why am I seeing a disproportionate number of these crimes being that are being reported featuring members of the ethnic minorities?
You tell me. Why do you think it is?
Well, you know, I think if you look
certainly
at
as regards to knife crime, sadly, in London, the numbers have massively weighed with it being young black males involved in that.
Yeah,
in knife
but
crime.
as well as that, Home Secretaries have come on your show and said even though the Muslim population makes up 6%, 75% or more of the people being shadowed by the security services are from that community So, you know, and like you said, knife crime, county lines gangs, right?
Yes.
Now, either the media are purposely reporting on only the crimes disproportionately done by people of colour, or there is disproportionate levels of terrorism, mental health murders.
Well, I think that we need to look at other crimes where white people or white offenders far outweigh any others. I point to certain types of sex crime. I point to fraud as well. Predominantly white crimes. So what is the point at which we're driving?
Well, the thing is, it's what people see reported in the media. Even Bournemouth, when I heard about those two poor women that were attacked in Bournemouth, right? Who was the perpetrator? What I'm saying is the public are looking at the media, at what's in the media, and seeing disproportionate levels of people from the ethnic minorities involved in these crimes. They only make up 13% of the population. 87% of the country's white.
Right.
Why am I not seeing those proportions in what is reported by the media?
Because in some instances, it's a bit like, and I don't want to be seen to minimise the importance of what you say, but having been in and around it for many decades, and please understand, I'm not liking it to this, but it's the old Rottweiler bites a person story, right? No one does stories about Rottweilers biting anybody. A Rottweiler bites a child, and then suddenly, for 2 weeks, the newspapers are full of what's called page leads, the main story on a page, of Rottweilers biting children. So you have to be very aware of how the news business works. So when there is a story, Ashish, about someone who has arrived here as a refugee, as an asylum seeker, and they are involved and convicted of some kind of sexual crime, and I choose my words carefully, but suddenly for newspapers, I'm sorry, I won't absolve myself, suddenly for the media, it becomes open season. It's just as when a Rottweiler bites a child. And it's almost like the Rottweilers having secret meetings that they're trying to bite as many people as they can in this country. So you need to be aware of how the media works, Ashish. But thank you for your input. We'll come back to that. But it was about a week ago that we were speaking of the great work done by the former Labour Cabinet Minister, Alan Milburn, good friend to this show, all-round good bloke, actually, he's a top bloke, Alan Milburn, and how he was highlighting the problems with youth unemployment. Now, when Alan and his colleagues started the work, the number was nudging a million. On the day they delivered at least their findings, their remedies or solutions come in the autumn, but they delivered their findings, it actually ticked to over 1 million, 1,050,000. So what of a solution? Well, Alan's going to come back, as I say, in the autumn. But one other Labour grandee thinks he might be onto something. And now posing as a modern-day Franklin D. Roosevelt.
In the working out of a great national programme, it is true that the toes of some people are being stepped on and are going to be stepped on.
I'm joined by David now, Lord Blunkett, Labour peer, former Education Employment Secretary, Home Secretary, the modern-day Roosevelt. Morning, David!
Good morning, Nick. And Alan's a great friend of mine, and he's doing a great job. But this is an unsolved problem that should have been tackled years ago.
What is the solution? How has it happened, and what is the solution, David?
It's happened because a number of things came together. Very poor careers service, disparity of educational outcome that still exists across the country 25 years since I was the education secretary, so if I didn't get it right then, I carry some blame.
Okay.
And the outcome of COVID has accelerated it. Between 22 and 24 went up by 300,000, which is an incredible figure.
Yeah.
Those who are inactive, they're either on the sick, and there's 300,000 of those, you know, young people of that age actually being signed off as not being fit for work. Yeah. There's a tranche, and I have to say this, where we're not sure where they are. And I think Alan's final report in the autumn will probably reveal that there's quite a lot of people working in the sub-economy, but it is hand-to-mouth work. It's here today and literally gone tomorrow. And I think we need to just get a grip of ourselves. People talk about entry jobs, which is back to the point you were making with Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah.
They think of it as hospitality. And hospitality are certainly in the mire, certainly outside London. They really are up against it. But it's not actually... Those are not all the entry jobs. So I'm talking about the big infrastructure programs that are just about to get off the ground. Heathrow expansion, Lower Thames Crossing down in Kent and Essex. We've got rail programs across the country. I'm involved with one in Yorkshire.
Wind plants as well.
Absolutely. All of these can provide entry with proper apprenticeships, with the development program and progression within work. They don't have to be working, I mean, much as I respect people who are doing it, they don't have to be entry jobs down the cafe. They can be entry jobs with a long-term prospect in a big industry. We're still not getting it together. So despite the recommendations I made to Keir Starmer over 2 years ago to set up Skills England, to actually massively expand apprenticeships, we made progress, but it's slow. And I think what Alan's probably going to say in the autumn is, not only should we put a rocket booster under it, but we've got to link it up with welfare reform, so that you don't presume that if there's something amiss with you, you go on the sick or you can't do a job. I mean, there's all kinds of things wrong with me, Nick, but I'm still active.
Well, thank God
you are. And I'm going to do so as long as anybody else will allow me.
Mate, life is a bicycle. Never stop pedalling. That would be my advice. And I don't need to tell a man like you that, because I watch you pedal all day long.
But it does help these days that there are proper gears.
So. And an electric bike too. You've mentioned Sakir, you've mentioned welfare reform. You know, final minute, I've got to get you on the so-called Mandelson files. How damaging for Labour, how damaging for Sakir?
Well, Pat McFadden, in principle, was right that there's been too much emphasis about how can we fund welfare rather than how can we cut back on having to fund it by getting people to be self-reliant, to have a job, to earn their own living, and then we don't have to pay welfare to that number of people. I've not got a problem with looking after those who need looking after.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a problem with those who think that they can't do something when they can.
Former Home Secretary, if you've heard about it, and I sense you will have done, the horrific murder of the Southampton teenager where police arrived and handcuffed him as he lay dying. What needs to happen there, David?
Well, as it happens, I'm jointly chairing a police leadership commission. We'll report in July. I'll come back on the programme. We've found all kinds of things. This is Nick Herbert, former Tory police minister, and myself chairing this jointly. We've found all kinds of things. And we'll be making recommendations that I think will address directly these kind of incidents.
All right. Before I let you go, David, can you sum up Lord Mandelson in one sentence?
I've always summed him up. He's always been two things. A complete slime bag on the one hand and an extremely clever individual on the other.
Sounds like editors I've worked for. David, thank you. Lord Blunkett, Labour Peer, former Education and Employment Secretary, Work and Pensions Secretary and Home Secretary, thank you for your time. Have a good day. Right, the music means, David, we must move on. And Nigel Farage speaking earlier this morning.
In some ways, what happened on that night in Southampton perhaps shouldn't be a surprise in two-tier Britain.
So what action is needed? Nigel Farage will join us after this. Plus, in other news, the mountain rescue team clearing a river of rubbish that could be seen 3 miles away. And will she be a comeback queen at Queen's? Good luck to Serena Williams, confirming her tennis comeback next week, aged 44. Those stories and more. Follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Reform UK's Nigel Farage has accused the government of overseeing a two-tier culture following the murder of Henry Novak in Southampton last year. The 18-year-old, who'd been stabbed, was initially handcuffed by police after his killer lied to officers saying that he'd been racially abused. 23-year-old Vikram Digwa was jailed yesterday for a minimum of 21 years for the murder of Henry. Speaking this morning, Mr. Farage accused Hampshire police of treating an accusation of a racial slur more seriously than an act of murder.
Much as we may condemn the two police officers involved here, think of this. The biggest fear a police officer now has going about his or her duty on the street is the fear of being reported for having acted in a way that was racially biased. That fear, now greater than dealing with a dying man living on the ground.
Hampshire Police has apologised for initially handcuffing Henry and has referred itself to the police watchdog. Jas Singh is from the Sikh Federation and says the Sikh community unequivocally condemns the actions of Vikram Digwa.
That action has brought the whole Sikh community into the spotlight. Whether intended or unintended, we now have to deal with that, and we have to now not only repair the damage done, but we have to collectively protect not only the community, but the Kakar as well. So it was his choice to draw a weapon and use it in an offensive manner. That does not correlate with the Sikh tenets of the Sikh faith.
There's more on this story on the LBC app. In other news this morning, Russia has carried out a major overnight attack on cities across Ukraine, killing at least 13 people and injuring more than 100 others. The missile and drone strikes were carried out on the capital Kyiv, as well as Dnipro and Kharkiv. Police in South Yorkshire searching for a missing 11-year-old boy have recovered a body. Mackenzie Swift was seen going into the River Don in Mexborough on Saturday evening. 18 people have died after getting into difficulty in open water during the recent hot weather. Sir Keir Starmer is to meet with his cabinet this morning after yesterday's release of files relating to the Lord Mandelson saga. 1,500 pages of documents relating to the peer's appointment as US ambassador were published. The tranche revealed splits and tensions within Labour, including unflattering views of the government. And Transport for London says it is bitterly disappointed that the RMT union has decided to go ahead with two more tube strikes. The first is already underway and continues until midnight. The second is on Thursday. 5 hours of talks yesterday ended without an agreement on proposed changes to driver shift patterns. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 42 at 10,382. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK, the heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
You know what you're getting with a football away game. The lucky shirt you wear every weekend. Tactical discussions.
Just needs to shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Queue for the turnstiles. Trying to get a chant going. Half-time pies. Hoping for a last-minute winner. Happy with the point. Sometimes in life, you just know what you're getting. Like a luxury bed and a great night's sleep at Premier Inn. You know what you're getting with Premier Inn.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call and WhatsApp message now 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
5 minutes after nine on Tuesday, June the 2nd, exactly an hour ago, we started listening to Nigel Farage, the leader of Reform UK, who was responding to those tragic events down in Southampton. And we won't play you now. I'll give you a very, very brief presse of what he said. He spoke of a pure, cold rage. He talked about those events and how there has been, how we have been subjected over the last two decades to mass immigration without a vote. 10 million people arriving in the last 20 years. Many, he stressed, are great people. But to stop criticism, Mr. Farage talked about how they have brought in hate laws and positive discrimination. Mr. Farage adds, there shouldn't be, this should not be a surprise in a two-tier Britain. All the values have been trashed. He also talked about how the sentencing of the killer of the boy in Southampton is lower than the recommended minimum. And he, Mr. Farage, will be asking the Attorney General to review the sentence. He concluded by saying this is serious, this is urgent. Mr. Farage says he feared for society, and he ended by saying the fish rots from the head down. Nigel Farage joins me now. well, a withering criticism or critique of where we find ourselves, Mr. Farage. Some would say a little soft on solutions. What needs to be done now? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I wasn't soft on solutions. I said that the IOPC, the police body that investigates police behaviour, should investigate and report on this very, very quickly. I'm writing to the Attorney General today to say that it's quite extraordinary that the sentence given was below the recommended minimum. But what I'm also saying is, when I say the fish rots from the head down, I'm basically saying that the people that run Hampshire Police need to be gotten rid of quickly. An email that I'm going to publish this morning that comes from a senior Hampshire police officer that says they are told as police officers to police incidents differently according to the ethnicity of those involved. This is two-tier policing. It's deep within the system. It's been promoted by police chiefs. And frankly, that needs to go. And I also said in that little talk this morning, the DEI has to go. Unless we start treating everybody equally according to merit and their own behaviour, then frankly we're going to finish up in a society that is riven apart.
So the solution lies higher than individual police chiefs. Surely we find our way to the Home Secretary or the Prime Minister, Mr. Farage.
Well, the Prime Minister, of course, you know, who took the knee after the horrid death of George Floyd a few years ago, has said pretty much there was almost nothing over this. And can I also say, Nick, that much of the mainstream media has pretty much blacked out the circumstances in which Henry Novak died. It is quite extraordinary. We are not having a proper debate and conversation. We are filled and racked with guilt about who we are, our colonial past, and all the rest of it. And the risk is that millions of young white people begin to think that society is against them, and goodness knows what that would mean.
Well, to support that, you know how TV studios work. I noted that as you were being broadcast on LBC, you were not featured on Sky News, the BBC, or ITV News. I don't know about BBC Radio. Why might that be, Mr. Farage?
Because they're part of the problem. They are part of the problem. They have pushed this agenda for many, many years, that we're a horrible, racist, ghastly country, and that everything must be done to prevent that. And we finished up with two-tier broadcasting, two-tier policing, two-tier justice, and I sense a growing cold rage amongst millions of people at all of this.
You pointed out that this poor young man said, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, as he died. You pointed out that the career criminal George Floyd did the same. Should the Prime Minister be taking the knee for this student?
Well, I don't think anyone should ever take the knee for anything, frankly, unless they're being knighted for services to broadcasting, someone like you, Nick, in a couple of years.
I doubt that's ever going to happen, Mr. Farage.
You'd never know. But no, I don't want the Prime Minister to take the knee. I want the Prime Minister to acknowledge that we have gone over the top in clamping down on any debate in Britain about immigration and its positive and negative impacts, and that he's going to get rid of the DEI agenda. It's going to go out of the window. No more positive discrimination, and we'll treat everybody equally according to who they are and how they behave. And if the Prime Minister said that, I'd cheer him to the rafters. But of course, he won't.
Last minute or so together, you said the most important thing is that things have to change, that we need to change enough of the anti-white prejudice. Expand on that a little, if you would.
Yes, I mean, basically, police officers are told that they must treat those of ethnic minorities differently to the way they treat white people. Basically, complaints that come from white people go straight to the back of the queue. That is what is going on within our police forces. It's certainly happening in Hampshire Police. And much as we can condemn those police officers, you know, I mean, just think of it. You've been stabbed in the street. The blue lights arrive. You think help's at hand. You say, I've been stabbed. And the police officer says, I don't think so. The last words Henry Novak heard in his life were him being read his rights for the police because he'd been accused of making a racial slur. The police treated accusations of a racial slur more seriously than murder. Can you believe where we are?
Finally, Mr. Farage, have you or will you be speaking with the student's family?
Yes, and I have been in touch with them already.
Can I get a sense of what they've said to you?
They are behaving in the most extraordinarily dignified way. But I think we, as a nation, have a right to be angry on their behalf.
Grateful for your time. Thank you, Nigel Farage, leader of Reform UK. Of course, Reform UK MP for Clacton, breaking off some work he has to do to take him for 4 or 5 minutes there. Let's pick up him now. We have a little more detail on what the solutions are. It's going to start with policing, but ultimately it would have to find its way to the Home Secretary or even to the Prime Minister. So how appropriate that we're going to call this next person Paul. We're going to put him in Kent, which is a pretty big patch because I grew up there, and he's a former officer. Paul, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm all right, sir. What about you when you hear this story about your former, not necessarily your colleagues as in down in Southampton, but former officers?
Well, let me first of all say that my thoughts go out with Emily's family. They must be, I can't even put myself in that position, being a parent myself. Also, I'd like to quickly say before I talk about what I wanted to say, also for the Sikh community, the Sikh community are actually a peaceful community, and the last thing I want is them to have been tarnished by one bad egg.
Of course, absolutely right, absolutely right. That's it. What are policing... I mean, Nigel Farage saying that the senior officers, the command structure, effectively, at Hampshire and the Isle of Wight should be fired. You were a copper, sorry. How do you react to that?
Well, I've done 12 years in a British force. I left about 10 years ago because I didn't like the way that the politics were going. I didn't like the way that they wanted us to police. I didn't like the way that they wanted us to favour different people over other people. And that wasn't the reason I joined police. I joined police to help everybody, regardless what colour or race you are. You should all be treated 100% equally. And it upsets
how did that
me
change?
That this is the way
gone. Spell out how that was changing towards the end of your career, Paul.
It was sort of, when we were doing training, it was sort of like they were telling us that, you know, for like arrest records, you know, you have to be more... So it was really hard to explain, but you have to sort of favour people of ethnic minority over rather than people of native to this country.
Well, let me tell you what Nigel Farage said.
Their records to be higher.
Paul, let me just talk over you. Let me tell you what Nigel Farage said an hour ago and a memo he's going to publish, which has been received by a journalist from a Hampshire officer. And I quote, "Police are told they must respond to situations in different ways according to the ethnicity. And police are getting promoted on the implementation of such policies." Right, former copper of more than a decade. How do you respond to that, Paul?
I agree 100% with him. But the reason I called you is part of our training, we have a thing called officer safety training. We have to have that every year. It is drummed in at us time and time again about a condition called positional asphyxia. When that young lad was saying to that officer, "I can't breathe," he was pinning him down. That goes against our training for positional asphyxia. Also, when... on the video, you can see that they acknowledge that Henry had a cut on his face. Now, if he had a cut on his face, is it unreasonable to assume that he may have been stabbed then?
Right.
I was shouting at the video. It just made me so angry about this, the whole lot of this. It should never have happened.
Finally, I don't know it. You've done it. You've been brave enough. When I arrived there... Despite having been told there's claims of racism, I'm seeing someone lying on the road, effectively, in a gut. The first thing I'm going to ask is, right, who is hurt here and to what level? Isn't that the first... And then I'll start worrying. I'll get to racism in a minute, but I need to know how badly anyone might be hurt.
100%. That's the very first thing you go for, right? Who is injured and they're the ones that you treat first. Also, handcuffing. That was not necessary.
No.
Henry was not kicking off. He was not making...
He was dying, Paul. He was dying.
Yeah. Exactly. So he was not resisting arrest or anything. The handcuffing was totally unnecessarily.
Enjoyed our conversation. Paul, thank you. We're going to have more on that. Also coming up later in this hour...
The 12-hour operation to clear a river of rubbish running down the side of a popular beauty spot. I'm LBC's Wales correspondent Bronwyn Weatherby with the latest from the Bulk Mountain.
And I'm the first to admit it's been some tough listening so far today. So, to lift the mood... You've got to hold and give... will be joining us in the studio after the 9:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nigel Farage has accused the government of overseeing a two-tier culture following the murder of student Henry Novak in Southampton. A body has been recovered in the search for an 11-year-old boy who went missing in a river in South Yorkshire. And Sir Keir Starmer is preparing to meet his cabinet after files released yesterday relating to the Lord Mandelson saga raised further questions about government unity. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Because of the strike on the Underground, the Circle and Waterloo and City lines are suspended. The Piccadilly, Central, Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are part suspended and all the other lines are running but with delays. On the train, Southwestern Railway services can't run between Forwell and Shepparton because of flooding. Thames Link and Great Northern services are delayed by about 20 minutes between King's Cross and Hitchin. On the roads, the M4 remains closed westbound from Junction 3 at the A312 to the M25. It's following an accident. There are severe delays on the approach and on the surrounding routes. It is causing big problems getting to Heathrow Airport. And there are delays on the M25 clockwise to Junction 9 at Leatherhead because a car overturned much earlier on this morning.
This is LBC.
The future is unpredictable at times. But the Open University are the experts in online learning, allowing you to fit study around your life. What's more, you'll have support from dedicated tutors every step of the way. Now, suddenly your possibilities are open. Search the Open University to find out more. The Open University. The future is open.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £122 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Whoop whoop! Thank you, faraway person.
Get in tonight's draw. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. It could be you.
Estimated jackpot. Rules apply. 18 plus.
Ready for a new kitchen? Wickes Kitchen Experts can support you with clever designs and a professional installation. Book your free kitchen design appointment at Wickes.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Anyone can see from another planet, by the way, total change of course, anyone can see from another planet that the pub trade in this country is in trouble. It needs a boost. There's a World Cup around the corner, so Green King are going to do everything they can for their pubs, including...
You got to hold your pint, but be there for kickoff time. You're here to back your team, but staying home is a crime. They'll always shouting and singing through defense and attack. You're always welcome inside. It's sunny round the back. So catch me if you can, because I'm the pop-going man. And watching with these guys is the master plan. We ain't no armchair fans. We don't watch football wrong. Summer in the pub. I know we can go wrong.
Harry Styles? Ed Sheeran? No, John Barnes. That's right, the legend who played for Liverpool, who played for England, the great Barnsley, is in the studio now. John Barnes, good to have you on board.
I thought more Dr. Dre, to be honest with you. I don't know about Harry Styles.
Okay, pub trade in trouble. What are Green King doing then? What's this?
Well, of course, it's a promotion that they're having for the major tournament this summer. As we know, it's all coming up, and of course, every time football's around, people want to go to the pubs and have fun.
Yeah.
And they're having this thing which they're calling not VAR, because people don't like that, but it's called BAR, belonging. Atmosphere and everybody just getting together.
Excellent.
And they're also for the first game on the 11th. Yep. They're having, you know, if you book at Green King pubs, you can get a free drink. So if 10 of you book a table and Green King pub for the person, you get 10 free drinks.
That's pretty good.
I don't think you could get a table for 500 to get 500 free drinks, but just about getting everybody. And as you know, football in England is about, yes, you go to the stadiums, but the majority of people do watch it in the pubs. So it's about getting involved to support the team and having fun.
Okay. You've watched football very closely. We English teams did pretty well in Europe, admittedly with a lot of European and other players, but we've had a pretty good run in Europe. If you look at Crystal Palace achieved, and you look at what Aston Villa achieved, Arsenal, how is the England national team going to do?
Well, the England football teams, when I say historically, look at the last 10 years in terms of how well they've done in Europe, from Man City to Liverpool. You look at Arsenal, look at Man United over the last 10 years, because the Premier League is the biggest league in the world where all the best foreign players come. Which is why the locals get lifted.
Yeah, the lads
they
get
do,
lifted.
But there's not, for me, there's not enough English players playing in those teams to help the national team. And of course, you can go back to the Beckham era. You can go back to Gareth Southgate's time when, so I don't know whether this team's as good as even that team. But we are still one of the top four in the world. So which means that we should be getting to the latter stages. So I think that the team will do well. And Thomas Tuchel is a very strong manager. I don't know whether English players will respond to people shouting and screaming, because Gareth didn't do that, and English players are very strong.
Is Tuchel a bit of a shouter and a screamer?
Yeah, you saw the way he was with Germany, the way he was at Chelsea, which is the right way to be, in my opinion.
However,
I don't think that English players respond to that, and he's left out some of the favourites. He's left out Phil Foden, he's left out, you know, Cole Palmer,
yeah.
And he's gone for strong players, which I think is the right thing to do, because when you're playing against lesser teams, Cole Palmer, Phil Foden, they'll score 5 and 6 goals, it'll be fantastic. When you come up against Spain or France, when you need stronger players, that is the way he's going to go, which for me is the right thing to do. So I think we'll do okay. I think France will win it. They're the favourites in my opinion, because they're physical, they're technical, they're strong, they've got good ability. So for me, they're the favourites, but England will do okay.
As a player, did you respond to carrot or stick? A manager who shouted and screamed at you, or a manager who put his arm around you and said, come on, jump on.
Well, Terry Venables was very good because he did both. And what you have to do is have to know the players you can shout at, the players you don't. Mm-hmm. Now, with Graham Taylor, for example, he shouted at everyone. So there are certain managers who would either shout at everyone or be nice to everybody. But I think a good manager is someone who knows who you can shout at, who can say carrot and the stick. Whereas I think in this day and age, in 2026... you can't shout at players anymore. So someone like Fergie, for example, I don't think could survive wouldn't work today, because the players are so powerful. More powerful than the managers, the players.
Was it someone like Wenger who brought about that kind of change in thinking, was instrumental in it?
Absolutely. Not just in terms of the carrot and the stick, but in terms of the lifestyle. So, of course, you look at the way he influenced Tony Adams and Paul Merson and these people. Whereas before, there's a big drinking culture and the managers just said, get on with it. So Wenger really changed that, and also the way that they manage in terms of carrying players with them to change rather than shouting and screaming at them.
I would imagine Mr. Tuchel keeps a fairly disciplined camp, doesn't he? I would have thought.
Well, I mean, the discipline
you've got
is
to with athletes.
But
now,
the thing about, well, these days, this day and age, they're no ill discipline. I mean, guys when you're going out trying to sneak out, and so that doesn't happen anymore. So there's a very disciplined camp, but it's more to do with having the balance between, and discipline is not a problem. Players aren't going out drinking and carrying on. However, you have to be strong with them in terms of finding the balance between disciplining them. I'm not talking about because they're going out drinking, but when you say to them, you do what I say, you run around, you play to the tactics that I want, and allowing them to have freedom as well.
Football used to be a working man's and a working woman's game, particularly possibly when you started out, John. Tickets now are available for England matches for £500+. That's
crazy.
Give me a word on that, John.
Crazy. I mean, listen, you saw the World Cup in Qatar, for example, which was great. I went to Qatar, it's fantastic. But you don't get working class football fans going to the World Cup anymore. In many respects, even in some stadiums, you don't get working class fans because it's so expensive even for league football. You know, if you go to stadiums, you've got a lot of, you know, foreigners coming in and a lot of, not just foreigners, but I'm talking about, you know, middle class people who can afford to pay £100 for the ticket. So I suppose working class fans are being priced out of it. And the World Cup just epitomizes that even more because you're looking at not just ticket prices. They're talking about even to get from New York to the stadium is going to cost you $100, $100.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of the tickets, and then the hotels have gone up as well. So while it's always going to be full, but I think working class fans are now being priced out of football generally.
Tell us about how you reworked the song. How long did that take then?
Well, I mean, this is just a bit of fun. It's not being put out for anything. It's just and listen, I read it in 2 minutes. So in fact, when we did the song, it was probably the same thing because we didn't expect to do it, and we all had a bit too much to drink. We're a bit worse for wear, so the song probably did the same thing because there wasn't supposed to be a rap in the song. New Order, not a rap group, but Keith Allen said, "Well, let's just write a rap and see who was the best at it." Between me, Gazza, Peter Beardsley, Des Walker, Steve McMahon, and I did it,
and you did it,
and that wasn't supposed to be part of the song until we're walking out of the studio and go, "Let's put a rap in for a laugh."
All right, couple of things happening in football at the moment. Bad news about Kevin Keegan.
Well, the good news is he's getting better.
Yeah,
and I was with him. But this was a long time ago when he had stage four cancer, and he's now on the rise. He's getting better. So it's come out the other day. A lot of people didn't know it.
And it sounds
as if Kevin's got stage four cancer. He's now getting better because this was from January.
He was quite positive, was he?
Oh yeah, because this was happening from January when it was stage four and it was really bad. Okay. But now here we are, where he's coming out the other end. But he's just come out, and people think, oh, poor Kevin. But he's on the rise. He's getting much better.
Okay.
So I was actually with his agent. Well, I was with at an event last night, and he was at an event the night before when he came out.
Yeah.
And he was a little little bit, not upset about it, but he thought that everyone's now going to think stage four cancer is terrible, whereas he's getting much better.
Brilliant.
So it's a bit of a downer whereby, you know, in January he was bad, but now he's much better.
At his peak, what a player.
Oh, absolutely, and of course, please. And then after he left Liverpool, Kevin Dalglish came, and Kevin was and a lovely man as well. I'm sure you've met him. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Really, really nice guy.
Talk about Liverpool now.
Yep.
Did they need to do what they did on the weekend?
Well, I was a fan of Arne Slot, but I say this all the time. Hierarchies and owners and chief executives do not sack managers.
Right.
The fans sack the manager. And once fans lose faith in you, they have no alternative. And unfortunately, the Liverpool fans, too many of the Liverpool fans lost faith in him.
Okay.
But if you want an example of why you should stick with managers, Mikel Arteta came eighth in his first season at Arsenal. He came eighth in his second season at Arsenal. He came fifth in his third season. You would sack him now, but look what he's achieved. Jurgen Klopp came fifth in his first season. Pep Guardiola came third. So I think we're too quick. And I'm not about the owners. I'm talking about the fans to make a decision. Because if Areola comes to Liverpool, for example, what happens if he loses the first two or three matches? Are we going to sack him?
Yeah.
We then go down the route of doing what Man United did when they got rid of Fergie.
Yeah.
David Moyes came in.
Yeah.
Sack him because he didn't know what Fergie did. Louis van Gaal came in. Great manager. Jorge Mourinho came in. And now they're going down that route.
Yeah.
Now, I do not want Liverpool to then, whoever comes in, if they lose a couple of matches, you have to stick with him.
I've thoroughly enjoyed coming away from the news agenda. I've got to let you go, but I'm going to give you an open goal. Blast the ball into the back of the net. Where's the pub people have got to go for this World Cup, John Barnes? See how I passed it across an open goal there?
Well, there's no specific pubs, but the Green King pubs.
There you go. Everything you need. Barnesy, thanks for coming by.
Enjoy
the World Cup. John Barnes appearing here on LBC. Where we will come back to serious matters now. And what we're hearing as regards police involvement down with Advent in Southampton. Kitty in Seaford. Kitty, your reaction to what you're hearing. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. It's my first time calling.
How kind of you to call. What are you going to tell me?
Thank you for having me. I am a Sikh woman and I am a mother of two. And my stomach just churned after seeing that video. And I can't settle. I am so, so upset. This is not in any way, shape or form, you know, to present Sikhs. And it lies the responsibility on our religious institutions as well. You know, the attire he was wearing, that is a religious attire. You can only get it once you had the amrit from the temples.
Mm.
And they are the one who issue these kirpans. I want to question them.
Well, I don't think it was a kirpan that he used for the stabbing, was it? It was a different kind of knife, I think.
Why was he given in the first place?
Well, he has. When police went to his home, he had what's called an arsenal. He had a selection of knives.
That is, like, this is the thing. And then he had all the banner, which is our religious banner, and you should wear it with pride and with responsibility. This is not the behavior you expect from somebody who looks like that. And anybody, whether you are white, you're brown, if it was your kid, how would you feel? The way Henry's parents are.
I don't know how the father. I would have just been in tears. I don't know how the father. He did it with such dignity yesterday, of course.
Yeah, as a community, we have to reflect on this, and we have to learn a lesson. Like, what? Where is this going? Are we doing the right thing?
Well, I think it's important to say another reason that it's made so many headlines, Kitty, is it is so rare for Sikhs to behave in this fashion.
Yeah, we don't. Look at the population in the prisons. Sikhs are very, very down in numbers. We don't cause problems like this. We are integrated very well into the society. And on top of that, everybody should come under the law.
I totally agree. But that, Kitty, is what makes it news. Things happening like this, and then obviously the fact that it is a knife crime, the fact that it is a Sikh, which makes it quite rare, the fact that he is used almost like a ceremonial knife, all of these things add, if you're putting the story together, to give it extra impetus to push it up the news agenda. Kitty, I must leave it there. Thank you. Be well, and thank you for your first time call. Look forward to speaking again, hopefully on Happier Matters. Coming up after the news...
The 12-hour operation to clear a river of rubbish running down the side of a popular beauty spot. I'm LBC's Wales correspondent Bronwyn Weatherby with the latest from the Bulk Mountain.
Plus...
Could
HGB, the comeback queen at Queen. Serena Williams takes to the court again at 44. We'll look ahead to that. It's 9:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari here on LBC. The news headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nigel Farage has told Nick that he's writing to the Attorney General today calling for an investigation into Hampshire Police's handling of the murder of Henry Novak. The force has apologised after handcuffing the 18-year-old who had been stabbed after his killer lied to officers at the scene and said that he'd been racially abused. Police in South Yorkshire searching for a missing 11-year-old have recovered a body. Mackenzie Swift was seen going into the River Don in Mexborough on Saturday evening. And Sir Keir Starmer is meeting with his cabinet this morning after yesterday's release of files relating to the Lord Mandelson saga. The tranche of documents revealed splits and tensions within Labour, including unflattering views of the government. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
This is LBC.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip for fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network as awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
Big Motoring World is now an RAC approved dealer. But what does that mean for you? It means total confidence. Because we check our cars and the RAC check us. Every car passes our RAC approved 200-point inspection and comes with a complimentary 3-month warranty and breakdown cover. So you can drive away with peace of mind. Big Motoring World. See website for nearest store. Terms and exclusions apply. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk.
Here's a tale of two commuters. Steve was in a rush and needed to park near the station. Jane also needed a space and booked in advance with Your Parking Space. Steve had a meeting at 9 and panic at 8. Nowhere to park. Jane, she's already in the office and enjoying that morning latte. With Your Parking Space, you can browse thousands of spaces across London and reserve one instantly. Use the code GET10 for £10 off your first booking. Download the Your Parking Space app today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
The main conversation of the day is the appalling treatment of the student who was murdered and, of course, the aftermath of investigations being conducted by the IOPC into Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary. Hugh in Birmingham. You're on the radio. You want to talk about sentencing, is that correct? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I just wanted to make the point, really, that up until about 6 weeks ago, the sentencing guidelines for courts, the presumption was you carry a knife on the streets, you're going to get 6 months in jail. That was the presumption.
Yes.
That was the starting point, just for carrying the knife. Right. The sentencing guidelines for the courts changed 6 weeks ago. The presumption now is they'll do a community service. And I really think, given the amount of deaths that happen in this country through knife crime, I really don't think what we should be doing at this time is reducing the sentences for those who carry knives. And one of the solutions, I think, to the problem is, if anything, to increase the sentences for carrying knives. But we should definitely at least go back to where we were and say, you carry a knife, the presumption is you go to jail. We need to reverse what happened 6 weeks ago.
Do you think if someone is crazed enough that you are going to stab someone multiple times in some kind of fracas in the street, do you think they'll be put off by stronger sentences? Or are they so lost to normal morals and normal laws, it'll have zero impact?
I think that people who do that don't necessarily go out with that mindset. The thing is to stop people taking the knives out with them. I appreciate that people get drunk, take drugs, arguments start, people lose their head. But if they haven't got the knife with them in the first place, and that's where I think we should start. There should be a deterrent to going out on the street with a knife.
Lastly, Mr. Farage talks of two-tier policing. Is there some validity to that, or is he simply trying to increase his vote share?
Part of me doesn't want to say, yes, there is some validity, but, I mean, it's uncomfortable. You look at what happened with the Asian rape gangs, for instance, that was clearly two-tier policing. There's no dispute. You look at what happened here in Birmingham with the chief constable going into Parliament and misleading them all.
Craig Guildford.
You could say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And it was all about trying to appease a certain community. It's hard not to jump to the conclusion that that sort of thing does happen.
Hugh, thanks. Annie on the line. We'll have more calls on that in just a moment. Let's just feature a couple of the many emails and text tweets that are coming in. Charles says, I've never burst into tears over much on the radio. However, seeing LBC's footage of Henry's situation made me fall to the ground. It's unbelievable the UK is now at this stage. I have no problem with immigration, but at 51, I don't care anymore. I have no kids. For those who do, good luck. John in Plumstead reminds the police, of course, the ABC of policing. We've done this before, haven't we? Do you remember ABC? Accept nothing, believe nobody, check everything. The ABC of policing. And what did those idiots do in this case? They arrived, they believed every word they were told by the murderer, and they handcuffed a dying teen. ABC, accept nothing, believe nobody, check everything. Failed on every level, didn't they? More on that in a moment. Now, fly-tipping waste, described as a river of rubbish running down the side of a mountain, has been cleared by volunteers, some of them having to use ropes and abseiling down. Extraordinary scenes. LBC's Wales correspondent Bronwyn Weatherby joins us from Bulk Mountain. Bronwyn, good morning. What you got?
Good morning, Nick. And yes, what we're talking about is an actual torrent of rubbish that was running down the side of this mountain and could be seen for miles and miles around. This is a beauty spot we're talking about right here in the heart of the beautiful Brecon Beacons National Park. And what had been taking place over years, it seems, is that commercial and household waste was being dumped from a lay-by where I'm stood now at the top of the Bulk Mountain, down the near vertical drop, some clearly using it as their own personal dumping ground. So it took a team of mountain rescuers this weekend to launch a massively complex and dangerous cleanup operation. The challenging terrain, meaning that over a grueling 12 hours, they had to lower themselves down the mountainside by rope, abseiling, as you said, and haul every piece of rubbish back up piece by piece. Pete Spearing is from the Central Beacons Mountain Rescue Team. He told LBC just what they were dealing with.
It looked to be sort of general building repair stuff. There were household items in there. You could see children's toys and a mix of other things as well. When we started the actual clean out, it became clear, we're fairly sure it was it's come from a pub or a bar refurb of some sort. There were industrial sort of beer coolers and industrial kitchen cladding, all that sort of thing, as well as some less pleasant things. We actually found a bag with what appears to be decomposed snake skeletons in it. So yeah, a complete mix of all kinds up there.
So yeah, a complete mix of all kinds of litter up there, as you just heard, and we're told at least 2 tons of it was collected in the end. The magnitude of the problem was recently highlighted by travel bloggers who'd captured drone footage of that river of rubbish. That was posted online and seemed to spur authorities on to take some action. And Rhondda Cynon Council stepped in, owing, they said, to exceptional danger and scale of the site. Now, council leader Anne Crimmings was warning that similar behaviour in the future will not be tolerated. This is all the while over in England, groups are campaigning for a national fly-tipping reporting system to be put in place. Whether such a system could be needed here or whether such warnings will actually deter fly-tippers from getting up to their old tricks, we'll just have to see, Nick.
LBC's Bronwyn Weatherby reporting by that river of rubbish at Bulk Mountain, reporting for LBC. Let's come back to the conversation. We're covering the murder of that student in Southampton. Tony is in Nottingham. Tony, you want to talk about policing methods. What do you want to say? Good morning. Tony, go ahead.
Hello, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I didn't get any lead-up to thinking. Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's upon down to the inexperienced side of things, I think. An inexperienced officer could go to, say, domestic dispute and have tunnel vision in that they could be travelling there and they could automatically assume that it's the male person, the bloke, that's the issue and the female person that's the victim. Mm-hmm. I think a similar thing's happened here with the racist stuff is so forced down people's throats during training that they automatically get an assumption of who the bad guy is en route to the job. And then when they turn up at the job, they already got a picture in their mind, who the problem is. And that for me, seems to be what's happened here.
But if you remember my conversation I had with Paul, who served in a British police force for 12 years, the first thing you do when you get out of the car or get off of your motorbike, whatever, you have to find out who's hurt and to what level.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
But they didn't do that, did they, Tony?
No, they didn't, because this emphasis on racism has been forced down them so much during the training that that's sort of taken precedent over preserving life and limb, which should be, as you say, the most important thing. But as soon as it's like a spell's cast on them, as soon as that race card is pulled, it's like a spell's cast on them. Oh, we've learned all about this in training, and you know, this is the big priority. And all that's gone out the window because they've superseded it in their minds. That's what I'm saying.
So it is two-tier policing.
I totally, as a former police officer, 100% think it's two-tier policing. That's exactly what's behind the grooming gangs and everything else. And it all came off the back of the McPherson report. And I think from that point forward, it's skewed everything.
When did you come out of the job, Tony?
10 years ago, for the same reason that other chap did 10 years ago. I saw the direction of travel, I saw where it was going, and that's where it's gone. The Nottingham attacker, same thing, different service, it's the mental health service.
Yeah.
He wasn't detained because there was...
This is Aldo Calicane you're talking about now.
Aldo Calicane wasn't detained because there was over-representation of black people within the service, so they let him out and he did what he did. It's skewing everything.
Tony, thank you. You stay safe in Nottingham. Of course, that's why you referenced the Nottingham case. I should have realised that. That's your home patch. James in Wembley. James, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Right, okay, the guy's made some very good... Tony's made some very good points. Mm. He basically said what I was going to say. It is two-tier policing, but I think to blame the head of Hampshire Police and to sack them all will be silly. It's just a case of better training, really.
Oh, come on. What training do you need? I'm not buying this training, James. You arrive at a scene and there's a lad writhing on the ground with blood coming from him. Who do you attend to for? You don't need training for that.
They sort of panicked and not looked at the situation. They should have ABC.
Yeah, like, accept nothing, believe no one, challenge everything. Yeah,
that's it. That's what they should have done is calmed down, looked at the situation. Oh, this guy's bleeding. And they instead...
But we need training for that? Come on.
Sorry?
We'll need training for that?
No, I mean, look, what I'm saying is, what Nigel Farage is saying, this is a disgrace. And it is a disgrace. But what I'm saying is, you can't just sack the head of the police. It's not their police. Two police officers or three police officers turned up at the address and totally got it wrong. Would you agree?
Yeah, they got it wrong, but they just deserted all basic policing policies.
It's their fault. It's not the head of the blooming police, is it?
Yes.
You know,
I think it is. Because if it is true what the journalist is saying, that there is a memo that's circulating within Hampshire Police, and I'm trying to see the words that you have to, and I know there's paper rustling here, there's nothing I can do about it, but there is the allegation that there is a memo, come on, I've got it here somewhere, it's here someplace, here we go. There is a memo that says, police are told they must respond to situations in different ways according to the ethnicity of those involved. There we are, I've got the exact wording. That is not right, James.
No, it isn't.
So hang on, so if Hampshire and Isle of Wight Police have circulated that memo, that speaks to the leadership of Hampshire and Isle of Wight Police, and they go. They all go.
Okay, so three of the police officers could have turned up and looked at the situation in a different way. Mm. It's just unfortunate all three of them looked at it that way. What I'm saying is they didn't use their brain properly, and if one of them had said, well, look, this guy's bleeding...
Yeah,
you know,
but I don't think you said there needs better training. I don't think you either have that basic level of common sense or you don't, I think. James, enjoyed our conversation. You have a safe day. We'll have a change of tack coming up after news. We go back into the world of sports.
Championship point for Serena Williams. And Serena smashes Steffi's record. It's number 23.
Oh, look, that was back in 2017, Serena Williams winning her 23rd Grand Slam singles title, passing Steffi Graf's Open-era record. She was 8 weeks pregnant and defeating her sister Venus. She's coming back. She's the comeback queen of queens. And we'll have more on that after this. 9:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Reform's Nigel Farage has told LBC that he's writing to the Attorney General today, calling for an investigation into Hampshire Police's handling of the murder of Henry Novak.
Police in South Yorkshire searching for a missing 11-year-old boy have recovered a body. And the SNP's former chief executive, Peter Murrell, has arrived at court for a further hearing after he admitted embezzling £400,000 from the party. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The tube strike continues, so it means the Circle and Waterloo and City lines are suspended. The Piccadilly, Central, Bakerloo and Metropolitan lines are part suspended. All the other lines are running, but with delays. On the train, South Western Railway services remain severely disrupted. They can't run between Fulwell and Shepperton, and that's because of flooding. On the roads, the M4 remains closed westbound between junctions 3 at the A312 and the M25 junction. It's following an accident. There are severe delays back to the elevated section and then back to the Chiswick roundabout. All surrounding routes are extremely slow, especially the A4 as traffic tries to get to Heathrow. And still very busy on the M25 clockwise to Junction 9 at Leatherhead.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
No prizes for guessing who is once again trying to whip up race riots this morning, and no prizes for guessing who's helping him. How can it be stopped?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Oh, how relaxing was that yoga session? I feel so free.
Speak for yourself. I can never let go.
Bladder leaks. I know, right? I'm so done compromising. I got a new bit of yoga kit. Always discreet pads. Here, try for yourself next week.
Love you lots, but this thin pad won't keep up with my heavy leaks.
Just trust me on this one. So, all zen and liberated, are we?
Let's just say I found my flow.
Always discreet. Live with no compromise.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Get iPhone 17 in the Vodafone Business Summer Sale. iPhone 17 is built for business with all-day battery life and the powerful A19 chip. For fast, efficient performance. Experience it all on the best network for business and save £300. Hurry, offer ends the 22nd of July. Vodafone Business.
Businesses with up to 9 employees only. Based on iPhone 17 and 24-month unlimited airtime plan. Best network is awarded at the Mobile Industry Awards. Saving calculated over 36 months.
Get unlimited video calls with vets from First Vet with Pets in a Pickle. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling.
Banningdental.co.uk.
McDonald's breakfast is turning up the heat with a spicy new twist. Calm down, not that spicy. Breakfast is for savouring, not suffering. Introducing McDonald's breakfast with Frank's Red Hot Ketchup. A spicy breakfast, suitable for the morning. Until 8th of June, served until 11 a.m, subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
We'll come back to our conversation about those events down in Southampton. But we had a bit of sport earlier in the hour with John Barnes of football. We go into the world of tennis with this extraordinarily gifted player.
Made it!
Serena Williams winning her first round match against Harmony Tan, Wimbledon. 2022 with a now famous, or should that be infamous, drop shot. It has been announced that she, Serena, will return a comeback to Queens. Will she be the queen of the court? She's 44. LBC's Rachel Johnson, Friday nights from 7. Massive tennis fan, not particularly competent player herself, will be attending the Queen's tournament.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, I'm talking. And we'll attend the quiz tournament later. Aeon One, how excited are you about this? Do you think you'll see her? Good morning.
Well, I am going to Queens, but the women's tournament finishes a week before the men's final, I think. So the semis are on the Thursday.
Only we could manage to get one of my colleagues on a line where no one can hear what the hell is going on. Can we see if Rachel Johnson has got a biscuit tin on her head? While I bring James of High Wycombe into the conversation. James, let's come back to those events that we were discussing prior to the news headlines. What do you tell me? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Morning. It's absolutely tragic. I was saying to your producer, I'm an alumni from Southampton, so I've actually walked that road many a time, and I was in the football team, so I knew about this poor incident months ago, and we've been following it. Look, I think my point is really simple. Yes, there's absolutely a culture issue here from the police's perspective. And that line that everyone's heard, "I don't think you have, mate," is just haunting. Mm. You know, when your boy's dying on the floor,
yeah.
I don't know how his dad can see it. The thing about the knife thing is, I think the Sikhs in Britain have been brilliant and they're British and they're equal to me. So yeah, cool. I don't like the fact that they're carrying knives. I didn't know, and I was ignorant to it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that one person's died. That's one death too many. The fact that there are people carrying knives around and have a right to, I'm very, very uncomfortable about that. And I think most people would be too. It's completely distinct and separate to the fact that a Sikh has stabbed a boy with the knife. I don't think we should be making this a tied issue. The separate issue is, are we comfortable with certain people being allowed legally to carry a knife when others aren't? And I think most people would say no, regardless of the faith issue. So that's kind of where I stand on things. But for people to then say, well, you know, this can't be an issue that causes the knife to be banned. Well, that they're basically saying that one death is a cost and a price worth paying for that kind of community cohesion. And I just think I'm incredibly uncomfortable with that as well, because it doesn't
have to make the point. The traditional kirpan is going to be about an inch long. The knife used in the fatal attack is a different kind of knife, and it comes in at around 8.25 inches. Does that change go on.
The knife the curved knife, I've seen two versions, and I think he's part of a sect that have an additional kirpan type of knife. Mm-hmm. I've seen a picture of it. The other knife that is being carried, to me, still looks fairly dangerous. So I definitely think there's a conversation to be had. And I really don't want the Sikh community to be forced to be super defensive. I think that here they could actually lead by example and show unity and say, actually, did people not know we carried knives? Shall we seek a mandate for this again and just check that everyone's cool with it? Because genuinely, I'm all for this conversation about diversity, but I feel more comfortable thinking that we're all the same country and that we have unity. I really feel diversity needs to make sure it has a democratic mandate for lots of the things that it is decided society should accept. Because when we find out about them and we feel ignorant, it makes everyone feel very stupid and uncomfortable. And when there's in the backdrop, there's a family mourning where officers have clearly listened to accusations of racism above, neutrality policing.
Well,
there's a real problem.
Or lastly, just care of the people involved.
Precisely. Yeah. I mean, we've all seen the video. It's absolutely shocking. And I actually do think, I agree with you, I think that the culpability, if there is a memo internally circulated, then the leader that signed that off should be responsible and held responsible.
James, I will leave it there. Thank you for taking us back to your days in Southampton. Let's try again. Rachel Johnson, my LBC colleague. Can you hear me now, Rachel?
I can. Can you hear me, Nick?
Perfectly. Do you think are you going to be able to see her in action?
I hope so, if I can score some tickets for Queens next week. I did have tickets for the men's semi-finals, but now, obviously, the hot ticket is Serena Williams is the Queen of Queens comeback after, you know, age 44. And, of course, the story is, Nick, is this a prelude to a return to grass at Wimbledon in SW19? And I'll just... Do you want me to just fill you in on that?
Well, I do, but I want to know, has she got enough in the... to use a football or rugby expression, has she got enough in the tank?
Well, look, I mean, she is a spokesperson for these weight loss drugs. I mean, this could be the best advertisement for, you know, Wegovy and Mounjaro and so on that the world has ever seen. She's shed a lot of timber. Mm-hmm. If she acquits herself, she's only playing in the doubles. She's not going to win the singles titles on the grass at Queen's Club. But if she acquits herself well, I mean, you know, imagine the take-up of those weight loss drugs for bought as well as weight loss. And it's just phenomenal, phenomenal picture. So this is what's happening. The wild card meeting for Wimbledon, so who's going to get a wild card for Wimbledon, meets after she's going to play at Queen's. So they can assess her performance. And then it's thought if she does well, she'll get a wild card for Wimbledon.
Have you paid your phone bill? Can I interest you in a new package? I can give you so many minutes of text and so many minutes of other online and various other
has
facilities. Can I interest
well?
You in this new deal? Can I sign you up?
Has the line gone?
It's much as your tennis is, I'm afraid. The line is very faulty.
The line is shot.
We'd better leave it there. I'm so sorry. I was hoping to get into more detail with you. I was going to ask you what Serena Williams' specific skill set is, but I think we'll quit while we're almost ahead. Thank you. Rachel Johnson, LBC colleague, Friday nights from 7. She'll be at some of the Queen's tournament. All right, let's come back to events. Well, I was going to say let's come back to events in England, but actually, Audrey, you're in Edinburgh. As we are speaking, the former boss of the SNP is at his court hearing. They're just reading out all the various things that he embezzled, so there'll be a lot of focus on that. Is that making headlines? Is that part of you? That's happening in your home city today, before we get on to Novak?
I've not been looking at that. This morning, because I'm completely incensed and really upset by what's happened to that poor student in Southampton.
Tell me your take on that then, Audrey.
Well, I think there's a number of things. People say the police need different training or more training. That's just rubbish. I mean, it's, you know, human beings, surely they would react in a more, you know, thoughtful and caring way. These men acted like animals. Well, animals would probably act better. You know, they were pushing this man around. They didn't believe him. They didn't check that he was okay. No. It was just horrendous. And that isn't about training. That's just about being a human being.
The basic principles of policing, which, of course, you check on the health of everyone involved, and then the ABC, yes, accept nothing, believe no one, check everything.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, were completely lost.
Yes, and also another couple of quick things. The brother who lied, you know, to protect his brother, nothing has happened to him. He, you know, the initial phone call saying that there'd been a racial incident, that should be looked at.
The mother has been before.
She has been convicted, but I think she should get a much longer sentence, whatever
to explain, the mother is the one who took the knife from the scene and then hid it at the family home that was subsequently discovered by a police search.
Family are rotten to the core, if you ask me, but it's just horrendous.
Yeah. Lastly, two-tier and policing.
Training isn't a thing.
Lastly, is it so-called two-tier policing? What do you say to
that? Yes, but also, it's worse than that, because when we heard about George Floyd
in the United States? Yeah.
Yes, you know, everybody's taking the knee and all the rest of it. Well, there's no outcry about this. Not really. The Prime Minister, you know, issues a little sort of text or whatever.
Not at the same level. I mean, it's important to say, of course, it was the Sikh who murdered the student. Let's remember that. In the United States, it was very different circumstances. The murder was committed by the police officer. What we have here is gross incompetence by police officers down in Southampton instead. Audrey, you must be the last word, because I'm done. James O'Brien is waiting the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you very much indeed, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I mean, you should have predicted it. I should have predicted it. However horrible the tragedy, however raw the grief of a family, Nigel Farage will see an opportunity, aided and abetted, of course, by some members of the media, to turn this horror show into opportunity to express almost gleeful desire for violence or cold, hard rage when the rest of us are trying to process the tragedy and feeling nothing but deep disgust for the perpetrator and almost unbearable sympathy for the family and the dignity with which they have conducted themselves. So, this is a weird question for me to ask you, but what do we do? Do we ignore Farage and his provocations, or do we tackle them head on?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Nigel Farage has told LBC that he's writing to the Attorney General today, calling for an immediate investigation into the handling of the murder of Henry Novak. Hampshire police has apologised after initially handcuffing the 18-year-old who had been stabbed after his killer lied to officers at the scene and said that he'd been racially abused. 23-year-old Vikram Digwa was jailed yesterday for a minimum of 21 years. Reform UK's leader Nigel Farage has claimed that the treatment of Mr. Novak is evidence of a two-tier policing and culture.
When I say the fish rots from the head down, I'm basically saying that the people that run Hampshire Police need to be gotten rid of quickly. The DEI has to go. Unless we start treating everybody equally according to merit and their own behaviour, then frankly we're going to finish up in a society that is riven apart.
The Independent Police Watchdog says it is investigating the full circumstances. Cabinet Minister Nick Thomas-Symonds spoke to LBC earlier this morning. He said it's clear lessons have to be learnt from the case.
This particular situation, very serious questions to answer. I would hesitate, though, on in terms of the police more broadly. I think I shadowed many Home Office briefs. I used to come on your show regularly to talk about them.
You did.
I think we shouldn't forget around the country police officers who run towards danger and put their bodies on the line when others are walking in the opposite direction. But in this instance, absolutely serious questions to answer.
There's more on this story on the LBC app. Russia has carried out a major attack overnight on cities across Ukraine, killing at least 13 people and injuring more than 100 others. The missile and drone strikes were carried out on the capital Kyiv, as well as on Dnipro and Kharkiv. Police in South Yorkshire searching for a missing 11-year-old boy have recovered a body. Mackenzie Swift was seen going into the River Don in Mexborough on Saturday evening. 18 people have died after getting into difficulty in open water during the recent hot weather. The former SNP chief executive, Peter Murrell, is in court after admitting embezzling £400,000 from the party. Murrell is appearing at the High Court in Edinburgh, where prosecutors are outlining the facts of the case. The 61-year-old, who is the estranged husband of former Scotland First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, will be sentenced later this month. And London's mayor is expected to use a speech today to add pressure to calls for a total ban on social media for under-16s. Sir Sadiq Khan has previously said that the impact of such a measure should be monitored, but is now firmly in favour. A government consultation on the issue is due to report back in the summer. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 33 at 10,372. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, sunshine and showers for large parts of the UK through today. The heaviest and most prolonged downpours in southern areas, a high of 21 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So let me get this straight. You pack the sleeping bags?
Yes.
Mosquito repellent?
Yes.
And flipping badminton rackets?
Obviously.
But somehow, the tent is still at home.
Well, technically the garage. Look, on the ring cameras, you can see it there.
Oh.
And there. Hey, where are you going?
To a hotel, Neil. Come on, kids.
Yay!
Always know what's happening at home with Ring. Available now at ring.com and selected retailers.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time. A very good morning indeed to you. And what a horrible morning it is. I don't know what to do. I don't often admit that to you. And if I do, it's sometimes a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because I get to decide anyway, and you kind of have to go along with it. It's almost impossible to pick the worst bit of the murder of Henry Novak, but I think probably the police officer telling him, as he revealed, stated that he'd been stabbed, I don't think so, mate, is probably the most unbearable element of all of it. And those police officers already under investigation by the relevant authorities. And the problem is that where you see tragedy and horror, and where you feel disgust and heartbreak, other people see opportunity and feel an almost sort of gleeful relish at the prospect of provoking more violent responses, just as the same people did after the murders in Southport, having helped spread profoundly and entirely untrue lies about the murderer in that case. And, of course, when people, as a consequence of those lies, took to the streets to attack entirely innocent people and took to social media to call for pogroms in profoundly illegal ways, they have been lauded and defended by precisely the sort of people who woke up this morning and saw not tragedy but opportunity. And, of course, some people lack the conscience to recognise that and will instead offer platforms and amplifications of calls for, I mean, so perilously close, so vanishingly close to violence that you may not need have bothered with the euphemisms. Respond with cold, hard rage, said Nigel Farage. What does that mean? If not, do what you did after the Southport killings when I was responsible for spreading deep and racist lies. And I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about him. And yet, you look across the media spectrum and you see the attention that's being paid to his latest attempts at sowing hatred and division. You, listen, feel what you want about the murderer. I feel deep and abiding hatred towards him. I hope he is never released. You know, it doesn't matter how bleeding your liberal heart may be, there are many, many crimes that just sort of almost compel you to leave any form of compassion or sympathy at the door. He sounds like a hideous little man and has committed a truly, truly heinous crime. Apart from the father, talking about the lack of dignity with which his son died and a police officer telling him that he didn't think he had been stabbed when he'd been stabbed multiple times, the sister, Henry's sister, talking about the hole that has been left in her life was close to unbearable. But do we let him and his hatred and his desire for violence on the streets of our country distract us from the horror of what happened to Henry? Do we let him and his vicious lies about two-tier policing, his deployment of white supremacist slogans like White Lives Matter? Some people referencing George Floyd this morning, a man who was murdered by white racist policemen. Henry Novak murdered by a British youngster, a young British man. Of course, some people want to stick Sikh in the headlines in ways that they would never stick Christian or Jew or some other religions. I can't remember the last time I read about a Catholic murderer, but given that the weapon he used was something that some people of that faith are permitted to carry in public, then I can sort of see why. Daily Mail, in a particularly disgusting stoop, even by their standards, puts the word Sikh in quotes that are attributed to Henry's father, despite the fact that Henry's father did not use the word Sikh, as far as I can tell, in his heartfelt and heartbreaking description of his son's final hours. Police dragged our son across gravel, handcuffed him and left him to die, then treated his Sikh murderer with decency. That's in quotes in the Daily Mail. And yet what he actually said, what Mark Novak actually said, his murderer, however, was afforded decency. He was believed. He was not handcuffed when arrested. He was not handcuffed when transported to the police station. As far as we understand, he was never handcuffed at all. Actually, I just want you to hear his words for yourself. You'll have to ask the editor of the Daily Mail why they've pretended that he used the word Sikh in these comments. Just as you'd have to ask Nigel Farage yourself how he could have woken up this morning and seen opportunity where everybody, half decent, sees tragedy and horror. Again, I say it again, feel anything you want about the killer. I've got this weird habit of not wanting to say the killer's name when I'm on the radio. It's pathetic. It is genuinely pathetic on my part because it achieves nothing, but it's almost as if you, it's almost as if you dirty your own tongue by saying it. I just want you to listen to what Peter Novak had to say outside court yesterday. And I think it's also important to remember when his son's murderer was sentenced to life in prison after an investigation by police officers who Peter Novak thanked. You could be forgiven.